Good evening, everyone. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, July. Oh, goodness, I didn't write the date down. I think it's the 23rd. Yep, July 23rd, 2018. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern till midnight. If you're listening live over another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, our call-in number is 605-475-3250. Our access code is 449-389-POUND. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please also support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support National Liberty Alliance's effort to save America. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab up on the top right-hand side of our website. Excuse me. By the way, we're going to be taking on a new business partner. I've worked with this product years ago. It's called Melaleuca, and my wife has been bugging me to get these products again, and But someone approached me recently, and I think we're going to sign up to Melaleuca and put it up on our website. And anybody who buys products from Melaleuca, it'll go to support National Liberty Alliance's endeavor. Melaleuca is a great product line, and when we actually get it up there, we'll talk a little bit about it, and we'll put a page up on it, and people will be able to go purchase it. It also is a multi-level marketing, and that is where we might, of course, make some money to support our endeavor. But again, you know, everything, all of our business partners, you know, whatever we get from them, and we don't get a lot, but a few dollars here and a few dollars there, and it all adds up, and to be able to pay the bills and keep things going and continue in what we're doing. So anyway, hopefully that'll be up maybe by next week. I don't know. We'll see. I haven't had time to go back into looking at it. But again, it is a product that I thought was really fantastic. Okay, tonight's scripture reading is going to be the Gospel of John. We finished chapter 2 last week, so we're going to pick up in chapter 3. So Gospel of John, chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 21. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Excuse me. Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Truly, truly, I say unto thee, we speak that which we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things, and ye believe not, if I told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believed on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Okay, that was the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. Okay, we are embarking on a lawsuit, and we sent some emails out over the last few days, over the weekend, and we've had a decent response. We've pulled in a couple of thousand dollars, so I'm going to go forward with the case. It's going to take a couple of weeks to put together, and hopefully as time goes on, we'll continue to get more money. Whereas we're looking to get at least $5,000. Of course, if we can get more than that, then there's a lot more that we can do. I want to thank everyone that has been responding. Most people have been responding with like $50 and $100. We've got one or two people that gave us $250, and we really appreciate that. And I feel confident that we can go forward. We're going to sue. We're going to talk about who we're going to sue and why we're going to sue them probably next week in more detail. But we do have some ideas of what we're going to do. We're definitely going after, of course, we're suing the judiciary. And what that means is that and we're suing the Bar Association, the American Bar Association. What that does, ultimately, it is prevents any of these judges, magistrates, to be able to sit on the bench in our case. It would have to be an individual that is not a bar member. We've been back and forth on whether we want to sue the United States Supreme Court. They have not answered us properly, but we know that our papers were intercepted, and I think we're going to try to send some new papers through in a different way, in a different manner, to try to get to the Supreme Court justices. But the bottom line is it was the United States Supreme Court who are supposed to have written the rules. Now, we're sure they didn't write the rules. Clearly, the enemy of common law, the enemy of liberty, wrote Federal Rules of Civil Procedure. And the more and more I go through there, and the more and more problems I see. Also, you cannot get into the court unless you file for a civil case. Therefore, you're a 14th Amendment citizen, which has civil rights. They always tell us that all the time. They always refer to the 14th Amendment. They'll never refer to the 5th Amendment or any other of the 10 amendments. But these are civil cases. We're not interested in filing a civil case. We made this clear in the last paperwork. Now, on the gun issue case here in New York, they still have not responded. And that's amazing. They're very amazing, because they were supposed to respond on the 19th of June. Here we are on the 23rd of June, and they have not responded. What's taken them so long? You know, we don't care how they answer us. We don't care if the judges throw us out, because either way, this court case is going into this court case that we're filing up here against the judiciary and the Bar Association. And again, as I was saying, we're also going to sue the United States Supreme Court. We don't have a choice because they are the responsible ones for the rules. And, you know, they could try to pull a Rule 12 on us for failure to bring in or address, I forget the words, but to bring in a necessary party, because we will be talking about these rules. And therefore, we have to sue the United States Supreme Court. There's no getting away from it. We're going to be very specific, detailed, and probably long-winded on what we're going to be asking for and what we're going to be detailing. I'm not sure exactly, you know, I got a list of things I've been running through in my mind and making notes here or there. And we've got a lot of paperwork and a lot of evidence. We've got hundreds of papers, over 100 papers that we have filed. Maybe it is hundreds, plural. But we have well over 100 papers that we have filed in the courts, all evidence. This is where National Liberty Alliance has been heading for. This is the pinnacle of our focus right here, what we're doing right now with this case. All the work we've done over the past 6-plus years, you know, we've been National Liberty Alliance, I believe, 6 years. I'd have to go back to check that for sure, but at least 6 years. Prior to that, we were New York committeemen, and in between that, we were New York Liberty Alliance, and then we found that so many people from outside were so interested in what we were doing and coming in. We had more members coming in from other states than New York, so we decided to turn it national. And that's good. You know, I'm glad that that happened. It puts us in a much better position. And we can truly go up against the federal courts claiming truly to be the we the people. We are from all over the United States. We are from every single state of the Union. There is no state that we don't have members in and are not part of our grand jury. So we're a grand jury collected across the entire United States. I'm going to try to look into our website to see how many counties we actually have members in. But I'm willing to bet well over half the counties of the nation, well over. But we'll find out maybe next week. If I can find out by next week, I'll make a note of it, how many counties we're actually in, where we have members, that is. But this is our focus. This is where we've been heading for. We knew that this is where we were going to go for. We never really spoke about it because we didn't want to reveal. Of course, you know, it's only about the last couple of years that we realized this is where we got to be. So the lawsuit is going to go up after federal judiciary. We're going to go after the Bar Association. We're going to go after the United States Supreme Court. We have to go after the federal committee, not the federal committee, the Judiciary Committee in the Senate and the Judiciary Committee in Congress. These people must be educated, and all those papers are going to educate them. I could imagine, and I really don't know, but I could imagine our papers that we'll be serving on these people will be well over 2 inches thick, well over a ream, maybe a lot more than that. I don't know, because we have a lot of paper, a lot of paperwork. We're going to try to really create this case as clean as we can within the paperwork to stay focused on the points. And as we have to expand on a particular issue, we're just going to have a whole lot of memorandums, or whether they be a couple of pages or 20 pages, to support the position. Within the next week or two, at most, hopefully a week, maybe next week we'll make the final announcement with a date, and of course we'll send it out to our membership, but we're going to get the grand jury together, call the grand jury together for more indictments. They're going to be very simple. We have a list of papers that we filed. You can find them at nationalliberty.org, okay? But we have a lot of people we filed habeas corpuses for. You can read through those habeas corpuses. These judges that were to deal with these habeas corpuses just ignored them, removed them from their files or whatever it is that they've done. So we're going to be asking the people for an indictment for every one of those judges that have rejected and denied due process to people who are in prison and they refuse to release them. Some of these cases are where people lost their children, and so all of this is going to come collectively into this case. Now, we've been using the other case that we filed, as we mentioned over and over and over and over again, as a depository, a place to deposit, to be all of our paperwork, to file with the courts so that we would be under the auspices of the courts. We also filed copies with Jeff Sessions. He's got a copy of everything we've done. Nothing is done in the dark. We've done everything in the light. We have nothing to hide. And we've sent a copy to the President of the United States. And we're going to continue to do so. As a matter of fact, when we file these papers, we're going to file an information to the President of the United States, because he indeed needs to be educated more. There are certain things he does not understand. And most of us don't understand or didn't understand at some point and have learned it. One of the main things is what kind of a nation we are, you know. From all I can gather, and the last I heard not long ago was when he met with Putin, he still believes that we're a democracy. We are not a democracy, far be it from us. We may democratically choose some of our representatives, but we're clearly not a democracy. We're going to have a very, very, very powerful case going up against these people. So again, we're going to include the committee for the Judiciary Committee on the Senate, the Judiciary Committee on the Congress. We're going to be asking for indictments for all these judges. We're also going to be asking for indictments on all of these individuals that have been stealing people's homes through non-judicial foreclosures. We're definitely going to target the judge, but we very well might, and we're going to look at this and consider this and see how we're going to go with this, but we probably will target the mortgage company. But we have to have an individual, a target individual, and I think we have always had a target individual. So we'll indict that target individual that was responsible to make sure that justice had taken place, that they weren't stealing, and that they would do this righteously and above board and in the light by filing the necessary papers that they believe that they should file in a court of record where people can come and give their position, and it would be done properly. It's called due process. So we made them aware of the due process. They didn't care about the people's due process. They didn't care about the suffering and the destruction that they have caused upon many, many families. And so we're going to file all of that. We're going to go after indictments for that. Now, we've got other indictments. We're also going to ask for an indictment against the judge in this New York case that has come right out to refuse us. Can you mute there? Got some sound coming through. We're also going to ask for an indictment against this judge in a New York case. He has outright refused. You're not getting a court of record here. I forget how he put it. It's in the paper, though. And I forget how he put it, but we're going to go ask for an indictment for that individual, too. We're going to take whatever indictments we can convince the grand jury of. We're going to take these indictments plus all the other indictments we have. Plus the lack of response on the case as far as going forward with the case concerning the murder of Lavoy Finnegan. We're going to bring that in. We're going to bring all this together. This is our evidence. This is why we've been doing everything we've been doing. You know, we get letters from people, you know, email, or people will come up occasionally here at the meeting and, you know, what are you doing? What do you win you got? Well, look, we're looking for the big win. We don't care how many battles we lose. Losing the battles became nails in their coffin. We never really, you know, thought we would win in all these cases. We thought from time to time we'd win one here and one there, and we have. We have prevented a house or two from being taken, and we have released or prevented an individual from going to jail or being pursued by the courts in one or two cases, you know. But they're very minimum considering, you know, it's only a couple of cases at most. And but all of these are nails in their coffin. All of this is proof. You know, we got other cases that we did not go after, okay, that we're going to pull into this case. One case, very, very clearly, we the people, with Robert Schultz, who started that particular group back, I think, in 1999. I discovered them in 2000, and I became a member, and I've been a member ever since. And I followed Robert Schultz's work. He'd done so much. He even got all the way up to the United States Supreme Court, or just before they refused to hear it. Okay, but he got all the way up there asking the question, are we still free? Do we still have a constitution? Does this nation acknowledge our unalienable rights? And their response was silence. They were told, I forget exactly what they were told, but they were told, generally speaking, that we're not going to hear your case. So that's evidence right there. They rejected our First Amendment right of redress of grievances, and that's what it was. And that case had thousands of people involved. I know my name was on that list pursuing them, and it was thrown out. Robert Schultz then went forward with a symposium. He invited the President of the United States, which at the time was George Bush, and many, many other people in Congress and so on, and people from the IRS, to ask them questions. Some of them said they'd be there. The President said he'd send representation. Never happened. They went forward with this symposium anyway. It was broadcast over C-SPAN, And so it's recorded. I have a video recording of the entire process. Matter of fact, I believe we posted it all up on our site. You can get a copy of all this stuff. So Robert Schultz, after going through that process, moved on and thought that maybe he'd call for a Continental Congress. And so he did. He set up, the We the People group is pretty large. We were across the entire nation. We set up voting places where people can go vote for individuals who will go to the Continental Congress in Washington, D.C. I know I set a voting station up in Poughkeepsie, New York, and we had people coming in voting. And so we did it properly. The populace, the people of the United States wanted to go forward with this Continental Congress. And then ceremonially, we filed our findings. As a matter of fact, the president of the Continental Congress, by the way, was... Trotter, are you here? What's his name? Why can't I think of his name? Michael Bodnarik. That's who it is. Michael Bodnarik. Okay, so president of the Continental Congress hearing was Michael Bodnarik. They met for quite some time. They discussed the issues, the problems, the concerns, what the government was refusing, rejecting, denying. And they came up with, I think it was about 60 pages, okay, response to the government and command to the government, basically to obey the Constitution, but going through the details of their violations and so on and so forth. There is a copy of that available up on our site. I know I've got it up there. I'll go looking for it, and maybe next week I'll make an announcement concerning that, again, that information on Robert Schultz, again, all of the video. It was really, really powerful, a lot of video. It was like a courtroom setting, which broadcasted live over C-SPAN and so on. In between that led, we had the court case that went through, and then the Continental Congress was pulled together. And the conclusion of the Continental Congress, I remember when it was actually released, I kept looking for it, It was going to be released any minute, any time. I forget what year it was that it was actually released in, maybe 2008, 2007 or something.
It was Christmas Eve. And they rented Jekyll Island, which is where they put the Federal Reserve in on Christmas Eve. That was the significance of renting that island in North Carolina.
Well, that's where I was heading to, that I was waiting. And on Christmas Eve, I went on my computer just to check. I figured, maybe it's here. And voila, it was a good Christmas present. So, but anyway, that's going to become part of our case, okay? We just didn't serve this upon them. It was a ceremony across the entire United States and every capital of the United States, or every state capital. A group of people came together to serve the conclusions of the Continental Congress onto every legislative branch in every single state, and including the United States. So 51 servings, ceremonially, they marched in with flags and served the both houses, and in the case of the states, the governors, and of course the president of the United States. And their response was silence. Their MO. You know you're dealing with the government when you don't hear any feedback coming back, whatever you're doing. All you find is pain and suffering when you go. And you know you're dealing with the government because that's where it's at. And we have so much evidence. And that's not all the evidence we have. Like I said, I don't know how much we're going to be able to put together. And you got to realize there's going to be probably about six different entities we're going after. I know I'm starting making notes. The two judiciary committees definitely were one or two of them, and U.S. Supreme Court and Federal District the Judiciary and the Bar Association. We're definitely going to go after also, because there's a lot of evidence concerning this, is the National Lawyers Guild, okay? We got 50, 60 pages of evidence on them, on their work to destroy the Constitution, to subvert it, to replace it with statutes of men, tyrants, suppressive individuals. So we're going to sue them too. We thought about the Southern Poverty, what was it, Southern Poverty Law something? Well, what is that, Gerard? Remember the name of that?
Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yeah, we considered suing them also, but we'd be getting outside of where we're heading to. You know, we're considering suing them only because they've been assaulting National Liberty Alliance. They've been assaulting the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. They've been insulting myself directly. And maybe we'll pursue them in another, lawsuit. But that's not that important at this point, and we're going to set that aside.
I think there should be a separate lawsuit with the Attorney General of New York and the Southern Poverty Law, because they're calling us sovereign citizens. And what that term is and what's it mean and where they get it from, you know, it's defamation of character, and I think they need to be lumped into that. They can't put labels on us when we go to court because we happen to mention the word sovereign or constitution.
Right.
And I just wanted to say the Bob Schultz thing was there's three parts to the First Amendment, and the one that was never challenged in court was the petition for redress of grievance, and that's what he took there. And their answer was, yes, you can petition us for redress of grievance, but they don't have to answer.
I remember. Oh, yeah.
Right. All right. So that's like saying, yes, you have a right to vote, but we don't have to count the votes. So that's why he did the Articles of Freedom. That's okay. I rest.
All right. So those are the people we're going to go after. This is some of the evidence we're going to bring in. And like I mentioned in the beginning, these things is going to be probably much more than a ream thick that we're going to have to serve on all these people. We will serve by sheriff. And we will cover Rule 9 for them so that they don't pull this BS on us very, very clearly. You know, look, Rule 9 has some logic to it. And I would not deny, I mean, not Rule 9, Rule 11. Rule 11 has some logic to it. And I would not deny some of this stuff. But they abuse it. And they make it mean whatever they want it to mean at any time. You know, I've seen a lot of cases thrown out under this Rule 11. I mean, just case after case. Everybody I meet that's doing what we're doing, not necessarily what we're doing, but suing the government, okay, always come back with the same thing. They're thrown out. They don't know why they're thrown out. They're thrown out of Rule 11. They're unable to state a cause of action, blah, 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 blah. And we have, too. We have, too. But I never saw anybody bring up the interpretation of Rule 11. The United States Supreme Court has interpreted that part of Rule 11. And I had found that a little while back, well, really recently, but, you know, maybe some months back. And so I used that in our case, and I think that's why they're silent at this moment in time. Okay. Or that and what's going on in Washington with the deep state and all the pressure and stress on them and so on and so forth. So, again, we're going to go forward, but we need money, okay? Again, we have enough money that I feel confident to go forward with this thing. But we need money more than just for this. We need money to support National Liberty Alliance. We're always in a struggle. Every month it's a struggle. It's stress trying to make sure everything's paid and moving forward. But also, we have a great, great sheriff's program. And we'd love this thing to continue where money continues to come in, and possibly we could move on the sheriff's program. You know, the sheriff's program is, we've written a book. You can find that on our website. It's on the front page, your sheriff's handbook. You can also go out to the sheriff's website. It's been a while since I even said it. I think it was the powerofthecountysheriff.com or .net or .org. We have all three. And you go out there, you can find it there, too. You could become a member of that site also, hopefully a supporting member on that site as much as a supporting member on this site. If everyone would just give $5 a month or more, that would be really sufficient and really, really support us. Yeah, we're gonna. We'd like to go forward with that project. Now, that project, like I said, you can download the handbook. It's about, goodness, got to be almost 100 pages. So it'll be a little bit of a beefy book. It'll probably be three times the thickness of the Constitution books, at least. Let me take a quick look. Now they got 30 some odd pages. They got 46 pages here, so we'd be at least three, maybe four times the thickness of this book, which is, this book is a very thin book anyway, but be about that. It's done and laid out in such a way, in a subject matter way, easy to look different things up and the amendments and all kinds of information. Everything a sheriff needs really to know is in that book, which includes also the Constitution, a copy of the Constitution, a copy of the Bill of Rights, a copy of the Declaration of Independence is also inside that book. So it's a handbook. One handbook fits, brings everything together, you know, bringing together everything. And our plan is to send 20 handbooks to every sheriff in America. And there's 3,133, 34, something like that, counties. So it's a little over 3,000 sheriffs. And to send 20 handbooks, we've calculated the cost because we've done this before. We know the cost that we had to spend last time for mailing and the weight and so on. And we figure that each one of this is 20. It's 20 books. I think we came up with each book was a little over an ounce, so it's about 25 ounces. And so we could package that 20 books, 25 pounds. Package and mail it with media rates. May take a week to get to them, but who cares? It'll get to them. It's cheaper for us, and it comes in at about $5.50 or $6.50 at the most per per package sending. I know. I think on this side of the Mississippi, it's $5.50 and somewhere around $5.60, $5.70. You know, a little bit different areas, and then it's going to get to the other side. Or maybe it's on the other side of the mountain. I don't remember. But somewhere we get further out west, it's more like $6.50. So, but in any event, we figured that, you know, the six, if you figure $6 on the average, okay, for sending to these sheriffs, that's $18,000 in mailing. We'd like to print out, goodness, at least 100,000. Let me think on what that was. If we got 3,000 sheriffs, times 20 books each, that's 60,000 books. Depending on the how much we could collect, we'd like to send out we'd like to collect enough to print at least 100,000. 60,000 to go out automatically to every sheriff. Some more booklets if a request was asked for more. And then, of course, there's also a rate where we can get, you know, the more you buy, the cheaper these books are. I know we did the handbook for, you know, sheriffs and jurors, and I think it was even judges, justices. But anyway, we did a handbook for that, and we got those printed up, and we're able to print them up and mail them at 68 cents a piece. So we sold minimum 100 box, 100 per box. So it was $68, and that included the mailing to go out to people who requested it. And we were trying to get that out to everyone we can. We've exhausted most of that. I have a few boxes here that I don't want to sell them all because it is. I always kind of like to have a handful with me. But if anybody would request it, they're going to ask Jan and give them the information, and we'll send them out a box. I only got a few boxes. But we're going to move that box. We got someone who asked for it, and we sold it to him for $75, a box of 100. We're going to move this to $100 for the box for anybody that wants it. And the purpose, of course, is for a drive to collect money for these projects. But anyway... I'd like to get about 150,000 books if we can, depending on how much money we can collect. And again, the more you print, the cheaper it is. And the reason being is for people to buy and purchase. You know, we'll figure something out where people can purchase one book or more, you know, but we'll figure something out if we can get that. But again, we have to collect the money. So we're looking at just for the mailing, okay, is 18,000 just for the mailing, okay? And Let's say we can get it printed for 35 or 38 cents. Let's say 38 cents a piece. Okay. Times one, let's say 100,000. Okay. So that's 38,000. Okay. So 38,000 plus, what did I say, 18,000 for mailing? I think it was, yeah, it was $18,000, $6 on average. Okay, so add to that $18,000. And so that project's $56,000. And if we collect more than that, if we can collect that much, you know, but it's up to the people, you know, up to the people. Do you want to educate your sheriffs? Do you want to educate yourself? It's up to the people. Do we want to take this cabal down, this statutory process, take all of these things down and replace it back with the law of the land? You know, is that what we want to do? Well, again, you know, $5,000 is going to accomplish that, and we are going forward with that now. I do perceive we'll get that $5,000. We've received a couple of thousand already, and I think more people will straggle in. I know some people said they were going to mail money, so I'm sure we're going to get the $5,000 up. But again, if we can continue this going and this project of donations for these purposes, I'd love to be able to go forward with the Sheriff's Project. In my opinion, one of the most important projects that we can work on. I think the second most important project. The first most important project is the lawsuit. That's the second. And there are other things we need to do and want to do. And again, all the monies that come in goes to support our endeavor and pay the bills, keep the lights on. So please, anybody who hasn't given, please give. Those who are given on a weekly, on a monthly basis, we appreciate that. And if you can afford a few extra dollars for this particular project this month, you know, please do so. But everyone should be able to give a bare minimum, $5 a month. You know, I get people who send an email saying they'd like to give, but they're on Social Security, a tight budget. And some of these people say we're giving $5 a month already. And that's all we are really asking for, ultimately, especially for people who are struggling that hard. But most people can give $5 a month. Give up one coffee and one bagel a month. One cup of coffee and a bagel a month. Just give up one. And there is your $5 a month. But again, you know, what we're asking for this project, we mentioned if 100 people send us $50, that's $5,000, and we got it. So we're asking people to send $50 if they can, more if they can. And if they can't send that much, they can at least send 10 or 5. That's fine, too. You know, the widow's mite. Everything counts. But everything costs money, and these projects are very important. If people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. We do get people who say, you know, ask us certain questions or different things, and we know that they're not paying attention because some of these things we just covered last week, but these are things covered on our front page. But people, you know, and I speak to myself first, we've been really pushed to be dumb and lazy, to not read, to tweet instead of read, you know. If you're not reading, you're not learning, period. Let me say that again. If you're not reading, you are not learning. I don't care what you think you know, what you think you could know. I don't care how many videos you watch, YouTubing, it's irrelevant. If you're not reading, you're not learning. Everyone should be reading, you know. Before the computer age, that was the thing. People read. Today, people tweet, you know. They want everything in small bites. They want it all explained very quickly. Liberty is not quick. Liberty is not free. Liberty is going to cost your time. And that time that it costs is learning. If a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. We all know that's Thomas Jefferson. But that is the key thing. You can't have liberty. Now, a lot of people have sent in emails asking a lot of questions, and I don't have the time to sit down and answer these things, and I want to be thorough in my answers. So if I start, and I have answered a few here or there, and I start answering, you know, next thing I know, I'm writing a page. I don't have that time to sit down and write a page or a couple of paragraphs on a subject to explain what it is we're doing. Well, we do it right here every Monday. So my reply to anyone who is asking questions directly to me by email and expecting that I might reply to them, and there's a lot of good questions, you know, this is the place to ask those questions right here. we come on, you know, the founders come on to this program every single Monday, and we've been doing this for over 10 years, you know. There's only a few occasions where we didn't show up, maybe when Christmas fell on Monday or something like that. You know, generally, we've been here. I've been ill a few times here or there, but Gerard's always here, and vice versa. So this is a place where you can ask the founders any question you want, and the leadership, and we respond. We run from nothing. We'll answer anything. We even give the opportunity to people who don't come live to the program to listen in. They come and they download the program, a Monday night program, up on our download page, and they listen to it during the week. And there are some people who listen over the radio. We broadcast this program over the radio. And we have some other people who come in and rebroadcast through their programming. So, you know, this program goes out to other people, and they have the opportunity to ask questions. They can either sign in and come in live if they can't get in live here, maybe because I did talk with someone who's going to sleep early because they got to get up early. So at 9 o'clock, they're on their way to bed, so they can't make the live program. So, but they can download the program, listen to it. And then we've created an opportunity for those people and anybody, you know, to ask questions via email at questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. And that goes to the leadership. I don't remember how many people get a copy of that, but a few people get a copy of that. And then Jan usually reads the questions online, and we answer the questions as best we can. If we don't have an answer, we'll seek one out. From time to time, people who have been members for us with us for a long time, from time to time, we stand corrected in things. We're not ashamed. We have no problem standing corrected. That's part of learning. You learn through your errors. But we have researched these things out. We have spent a lot of time working on these things to make sure that we're doing what we're doing is correct, that our positions are correct, that the way we understand things are correct. I get people who tell me, well, we can't take things into the federal courts because they're no longer our courts. Hogwash. They are our courts. Well, I'm not giving up those courts. We the people, shall not give up our courts. We paid for those courts. Those are the courts that we own, and that's why we're going through this lawsuit the way we're going through it now. No bar attorney is going to be able to sit on that bench. No bar attorney. And if we have our way at the end of this, no bar attorney will ever sit on that bench again. So anybody who's a bar attorney, they need to give it up, and they need to turn to common law and give us the law of the land. No more do we want to hear, well, look at, you know, the Constitution. Let's look at statutes. You know, the statutes make it clear. It's easy. No, no. The Constitution is clear and easy. Very clear and easy. You know? And the few things that we have a few problems with usually is because we don't understand a particular word and how it was used. You get yourself a good dictionary, a good law dictionary, a regular dictionary, and you look these words up, and you'll understand it. Okay? Matter of fact, you know, we always hear the idea, oh, we don't understand. We're talking about people who are educated, quote-unquote, in the law and have their, quote-unquote, licenses, which is really a membership card, licenses, who have 20, 30 years of arguing cases, sitting on their thrones, you know, as judges, and they respond, we don't understand. We don't understand what they're saying, you know? But the common people understand. Anybody without any experience in what we're doing reads our papers, understands. They may not understand at all. There's a few things here or there that'll pass by them. They won't even realize it unless they go back and start digging into the words that they really don't understand, looking at the footnotes and everything. Anybody who reads through our papers and looks at the footnotes understands completely what we're talking about, understands the problem completely. How is it that they don't understand? You know, it's quite convenient that they don't understand. All right, anyway, we're going to push this lawsuit forward. We will be working day and night, almost literally day and night, to get this lawsuit together and file it. And we're going to lay out a criteria page where anybody who wants to add in an affidavit can send in an affidavit. And if they've been damaged, they can make it that point in the affidavit. And, you know, all these cases that we're going to be bringing in, we want them dealt with. So if you have an affidavit of injury, you've lost a house, you've been, or you were, or someone in your family or someone you know was unjustly incarcerated, that did not get due process, and anybody who went to a civil court or criminal court, we'll forget the civil court because that's generally people against people, but anybody who is brought into a, that's called a criminal court, that court is not a court of record. That court ultimately does not have the power or the authority to fine or incarcerate. Only a court of record in the United States has the power to fine or incarcerate. Let me repeat that. Only a court of record, which means the common law has to be applied. If you're in a statutory court and you've been injured, you know, then you didn't get your due process. Now, I'll have to sit down and think about the criteria for these affidavits because we want to stay focused and on point. We also want to don't want to go long-winded. We don't want 20-page affidavits. We want 1-2 pages max. Stay on point. You know, once these things become part of the case, we will be pushing these cases to be, you know, reviewed and dealt with and justice to be applied. And people who've lost their homes, we want these people restored. People who have lost their liberty and have sat in jail for a period of time, we want these people restored. People who have lost their children, I don't know how we're going to restore them. But they need to get some kind of, I don't even know what word can be used. What word can you use in place of your child? I mean, that makes me the angriest, okay? Robbing our children. Robbing our parents, the twilight years of our parents, preventing children from seeing their parents, you know, adult children, seeing their parents and being with their parents at the end of their lives because they have they got a lot of money and property. And the state takes it over, and they're taking care of it. The children are incompetent. They're doing the wrong thing. And in some cases, children can't even see their parents. In the twilight of their lives, this is the destruction that these people have applied upon we the people. A lot of people don't realize how bad it is. You know, some people who may be visiting here and we're talking about these things, maybe they don't know much about what we're talking about and they can't believe it. You know, I couldn't believe it either, but I've been in the courts and in this long enough. I've been in this fight, this battle since 2000. That's when I entered into this battle. Actually, I entered into the battle on my own for 2 years fighting the IRS before 2000. And I found We the People, and I joined with them and joined their battle with them and continued the battle on my side and done a lot of things. And eventually we got these different groups going on. We had the Ron Paul movement, and we had the Tea Party movement, and then, you know, the committee man thing that we were moving forward on. And then we moved into Liberty Alliance. And we haven't left any of the things in the past. They're all collected together here at National Liberty Alliance. We're pursuing all of these things, political power, judicial power, which is our unalienable right to control. We have a right of government by consent of the people, and none of these people have any authority, any right by any way, shape, or form to deny us of those powers, those authorities. We are sovereign people, you know. I don't know how many people, you know, they've been to our front page many times and maybe they pass by it and they go to other pages to see other things. And if you haven't been on our front page in a while, you should look at the video on the top if you haven't seen the video with Trump. It's a 30-second clip, 30 seconds, and it's Trump's message to the United Nations. The people of America are sovereign. That's his message. And I was elected to make sure, I forget exactly what he said or how he said it. If anybody can kind of chew that soundbite in somehow over their mic, you know, just do that and I'll remain silent as it plays. And it's only 30 seconds long. But if you haven't heard that, you need to go hear that. And that gives us an understanding of what Trump is really trying to do for us. But if we the people don't come up from the grassroots to seize control of the power, because right now there will be a power vacuum, and when the crap hits the fan, And these people start being arrested and going to jail. And that's going to be a slow process. It's got to be a slow process because of the way things are and the perception of the people of the United States. But in any event, when that happens, there's going to be a vacuum in Washington and across this nation everywhere, a power vacuum. And we, the people, must fill it. And I don't mean that we have to become elected individuals. That's good if you want to do that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about taking our authority back. We have government by the consent of the people, and we consent in the political process by controlling the committeeman process. And in the near future, we have a lot of information. You can go learn about that right now on our website, okay? But we will be pushing a lot of programming on that at some time in the near future. We have to win in the courts first. That's our first goal. Then we will win on the political side of things. But it's up to the people to choose the individuals they want to run for office. Right now, that process is a top-down process controlled by the top. And they send to you either the criminal on the right or the criminal on the left. Which one do you want to vote for? You want a Republican governor criminal, or do you want a Democrat criminal for governor or senator or whatever it is that they're running for? You know, so we have to take control of that, and that's what the committeemen do. And we can get that back down to the power of the people, to the grassroots powers, where the people can, you know. The power of that level is, it's the most powerful office in the land, ultimately, so has been said, and I believe it is, because every single elected official, including the President of the United States, comes to the committeemen to beg for their support. And they will jump through the hoops, they'll roll over, they'll balk, they'll do anything you say. Anything that the Democratic Party says to the Democrats or the Republican Party says to the Republican, they will do it. But that we have lost control of that. We don't have control of that. The people have control of that from the grassroots level, okay, collectively upward, okay? We can deny access to anyone who does not know the Constitution, because who are these people that think that they can come into power and wield their power, and a lot of them make a lot of money, okay, and they have no clue of the Constitution. And when you approach these people to talk to them, to question them, to challenge them, immediately you're met by their filter, the bar attorney. So they will not respond to you. No, they're just not going to tell you to answer your questions. And they don't know the answers anyway. They have to run to their attorney that's in charge. You know, all of these, the whole country is run by attorneys. I think we talked about this last week, how many, like 50,000 attorneys in Washington, D.C. or something like that. I forget. Oh, 80,000, I think it was. Yeah, 80,000.
Hey, John. It's actually almost worse than that, because, look, here's three senators, what they say about the Constitution. Chuck Schumer says, time and time again, we find progressive laws getting struck down, and it's always, always the ones the Constitution is against. These right-wing judges don't think for themselves, and they just do whatever the Constitution says, and it's time for that to end. That's Chuck Schumer, right? Here's Elizabeth Warren.
Hey, do me a favor, you know, Skype me that quote, because I think we're going to use that quote, but in our court case. But
well,
Skype me that when you get
yeah. I put it in your Skype bin, John. Today.
Oh, I thought Ron sent me this.
Earlier.
This is you, Jan, that sent me this?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Elizabeth Warren, we need judges to be advocates of progressive laws, not people who will bow to the whims of the Constitution, putting its extremist values of freedom of speech and freedom of religion against our agenda. Elizabeth Warren.
So he's talking about the whims of the people. The whims
right.
of the Constitution. The whims of the people. Why are we going to listen to the people?
Look,
go ahead.
This is what's wrong, and this is what Trump is going after, because everything that you've just heard, those two first ones, that's treason right there. But anyway, this is Gary Booker. I guess he's another congressman. We're sick and tired of the Constitution sitting in the National Archives, manipulating everything we do. So they don't want the Constitution, and they're coming right out and saying it, just as much as Judge
DeBarge.
Well,
I think some of these, if we very carefully go through this, I think some of these are indictable things, you know, issues. In other words, they have just made war against the Constitution by saying those things and being an elected individual and saying those things. I think that is that they could be indicted for that, and we're going to consider that in our next indictment, to indict these people. You know? But
well, look at that. Look at that one congresswoman. She said, "We're not going to let Donald Trump destroy the 70 years we took to build this new world order up, and he's not going to just take it down in one term." So they're coming right out and saying what their agenda is. So people should understand. Look at right now. There's an exodus out of Washington because between the pedophilia and between the treasonous stuff that he's able to pick up on them since he's taking control of the NSA and the CIA, he has all the information on them. And basically he's told them that they gotta resign or he's gonna prosecute them. And see the timeline right now, and you need to be aware of what's going on because this could happen any day, and it's gonna create some chaos in the nation. But these indictments that he has sealed, they have to be served and done before August because we got a midterm election coming up in November, and they got to let the people read the charges and absorb the charges so that they can't say that he's doing a coup. You know, they got to read the evidence on these people, and that's what this whole thing in Washington with the redacted and the unredacted and all that. This is just a show for the people. Because he could have went out and arrested all of them right now, yesterday, you know, and that's why the military asked him to run to do it this way, because they're trying to build up a coalition of people that understand the corruption, because so many people are asleep out there, and they're gonna have a mental breakdown when they realize all the crimes that these guys have done with children and everything else. So look at the deep state is in a dire straits right now. You can expect them to blow something up. They've been trying to start war with Russia, with Iran. They need a war. They need it to protect their military industrial society. And so right now they're backed in a corner. You know, I don't know what they'll do. And you see, if the credit's going to go down because we have all this debt that's going to blow up in our faces. And the minute it does, everything stops because the whole world runs on credit. So when the credit doesn't work, the food goes off the grocery shelves. So Donald Trump is trying to get it so that there's not a major long time before, you know, real money hits in and barter and people learn how to function without all the credit. But we'll see what happens. I don't know what his plan is. I don't know what he thinks he's doing, but I would just tell all the members of National Liberty Alliance to be prepared. You should be stocking some food and stuff. You should have 3 weeks of grocery at least, because, you know, you may not be able to get gasoline even. I'm telling you that I don't expect this thing to go down without a hitch. I can't, you know, if it goes down without a hitch, it's going to be a miracle. So we'll see what happens, but it's coming very close. And it's going to be certainly by August, September. They can't go into November with midterm elections coming. And I don't think half the Congress is coming back. And I don't know who's going to fill that vacuum. There's a vacuum there because they're leaving because, look, they're going to get prosecuted or he's going to let them leave. Some of them can't leave because they're going to get prosecuted anyway. So, and they know this. They all understand this now. So this is the tenor of the nation right now. These people like Schumer, they got evidence. Schumer is probably going to end up behind bars. Hillary has to. There can't even be a deal for her because she's an evil, evil murderess, you know, and they have so much evidence on her. You can't cut a deal with somebody that does the things that she does to children. And I'm sorry. It's that serious. So there's a lot of them like that. And look, I don't believe that they let any judges into these seats that they don't have, that they don't have the goods on. So they make sure that they all participate in these crimes together so that when it comes time for them to ask a favor, they know that that particular official has to be, has no choice. And so I don't know if you guys watched the Putin-Trump meeting, and when Putin came out and they asked, some stupid reporter said, do you have evidence of Russian collusion with the Trump campaign? And he kind of smirked. And he said, you know, that's baloney. You got to get off of that. He said, but I do have evidence that Hillary Clinton received $400 million through this corporation that was funded through Soros, and I'll help you with that. You know, even Fox News never, ever picked that up. That's a major indictment by Putin that he know, and he said, and the deal and the money was pushed through by intelligence officers, not agents, officers. There's a difference. An agent is somebody that you get and they give you information at. An officer is somebody like Comey and these people that actually work for the FBI and the NSA and the Department of Justice. Putin was very careful that he said, and the deal was helped through and brokered through by the intelligence agency officers. Do you hear any news agency talking about that? Crickets. Crickets. That's a major, major revelation. All right.
Okay. All right. Okay, I want to move on to open forum in a minute or two, a few minutes.
Yeah.
I don't see Brent here. Is Brent here, Jan? I don't see him in the page here.
I haven't noticed him yet.
Yeah, I looked down. I scrolled down a bit, and I didn't see him down there. I don't see him coming in as a an administrator on the page here. But in any event, you know, I think we're going to move right into open forum tonight anyway, because I really want to focus in on what we're doing. Hopefully people are going to ask questions concerning this case and focus in on what we're really doing right now. So we'll see how we go with that. But let me just finish off with what I was saying. You know, what Gerard had read a little earlier about what some of these elected officials said, you know, these people are rats. And, you know, we're draining the swamps. And any swamp you get, there's lots of rats in there. There's monsters and, you know, all kinds of swamp things and stuff. But there are lots of rats. And when we drain that swamp, they're going to scurry everywhere. The problem is if we don't fill that power, if the people don't take up their power and authority and start working on the consent and teaching our children how to consent to government, if we don't do that, all those rats will get back in there. You know, rats multiply. A pair of rats can multiply up to 200 rats a year. I mean, just think about that. You know, if you have 100 rats, just think how fast 100 rats, 100 times 200, what is that? That's a lot of rats. If there are two zeros on the end of the 100, what is that? Is that 10,000 or 100,000? I don't know. But in any event, they multiply and they multiply quickly. And that's what we have. We have rats. We have to get rid of the rats. We have to fumigate them. We have to catch them and put them in cages, get rid of them, deport them somewhere. Guantanamo might be a place to send some of these rats. But in any event, people got to step up. You got to take control. And consent to the government politically is through the committee man process where we decide, you don't know the Constitution, you know these answers, then you can't be in office. Go home, learn the Constitution. You can go here to this website and learn there. And then you come back and then ask for our help. And then before we send you up, we're gonna take your sworn vow before you even go into office. If we're going to support you, we want you to swear to us you are going to obey and uphold the Constitution. And if you don't, bear in mind, we got the power of recall. We need to let these people know before they go into office. We got the power of recall. We'll yank you out in 90 days. Okay? So they will come. They depend on the committee men to get into office. They cannot get into office without the committee men. That is true on the smaller offices. They can walk their own papers. But, you know, you get a congressman or a senator or any of these people, they got whether it's state or federal, it doesn't matter. They got way too many signatures to get, unless they have their own little small army. But we'll recall them anyway. know, they get in that way. We don't care. We don't need legislation telling us that they can only be in a position for two terms. We don't need that legislation. We just don't support them when they come back for the third term. You've been in here twice. We'll go. Someone else get a chance. We don't want people sitting in office and sucking off the American people, making money and having a good comfy job and so on and so forth for their own purpose. We want people representing us, and we don't want people. We want people in and out. We got to keep that moving, keep Congress moving. Senators don't belong to us; they belong to the states. It's up to the state to them. We're gonna address that in our lawsuit. Also, we're gonna address all the problems of the Constitution that we understand, and we will, you know, chew it over a lot and share it with some other people that we know have knowledge. And if we're missing anything, we'll get it in there. And when we put it up, we'll post it maybe before we even file it. I'm not sure how we'll go with that, but we might do that. You know, look to make sure we cover every issue. But we can always add to the issues. We take control of the judiciary, which is our right, our unalienable right to control our courts. We, the people, are the judges. We are the grand juries. Yes, you can. Yes, you can go. Well, yes, we'll indict you, that person for you. No, we will not indict that person for you. Go away. And when they come into court, we decide both law and facts. We'll decide what the penalty to be, if any. We'll decide innocent and guilt. We'll decide how the restitution is going to take place. We're not looking to put people in jail. That's sick. That's dumb. That doesn't make any sense, putting people in jail, unless you want to make money. You got a business. They got a business going with that. They got a lot of money in that, especially the IRS courts, the quote-unquote Article I courts, especially them. There is no such thing as an Article I court, by the way. But in any event, they have them. If you go to the Supreme Court's page, you will find Article I courts. I can't believe they're getting away with this. Are we that dumb? Are we that dumb that we allow them to get away with that? Anyway, we got to stop it. And we, the people, can stop it. We need to take control of the court. That judge up there, all he is a traffic cop to keep things going. That's all he is, nothing more. Okay? Yes, there is an equity side of a court, where one lone jurist called a judge or a justice, I prefer calling him a justice, as long as he maintains justice, okay? But one lone jurist decides for this party or that party. And if they carefully weigh the evidence, carefully weigh the contractual agreement between those individuals, they'll come up with the right answer, okay? All too often, the one wins on this side or that side because the judge has a relationship with the lawyer on that side or this side. All too often that happens. All too often. Happened against me all the time. Can't even tell you how many times I went into court rock solid. And this is before, you know, this is just general filing that I didn't know much about, but I learned a little bit here or there when my construction business, and I moved over to arbitration because you get much better deal in arbitration than going into a court to battle. But, you know, you got this one lone guy, and if he makes a mistake, okay, well, then there's an appellate system, an appeal process. There's two courts above that, and then there's another court before that. You go into the federal court if you qualify to get into that. It could work very well, and it should work very well, and that's fine. Give them the judging ability in an equity court as long as they follow the principles of the common law, you know. American jurisprudence, it's called. All right, but that's where we consent. We consent in our courts as jurists, grand jury or petit jury, trial jury. That's our consent. We consent in not just a ballot box. We consent whether we're going to allow a person onto the ticket or not by how they answer us and their humility to we the people, understanding that we're the authority, we're the master, you are the servant. You're going there to do our business, not your own business. And when you break things, you break your contract with us, we're just going to yank you out. And remember, you know, even through the grand jury, through an indictment, we can pull a person out of office, okay? And, you know, when they violate their oath of office and we notify them of that violation, then we have the ability and the right and the authority to indict them. But we don't control any of those things. That's all controlled by them. Ultimately, the people in power behind the people in power. You know, there's people behind the deep state. The deep state is the structure we're looking at. There's more people behind that. Yeah, now you're looking into the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and many others, Warburgs and so on. That's what we have to deal with. But again, we the people, we have to fill these voids. And if not, the rats will remultiply again, and next thing you know it, we'll turn around and we're back into the same boat. If the people think that they can remain ignorant and free, you cannot. If you think if you don't have any education in American history, understanding what our founding fathers built and the process of law, the process of government, and how this whole structure came together, which is really very exciting to learn about. You know, if you learn what they teach you, it's all statutory. It bores me to tears. I could never follow with that stuff. I just forget about it. I fail. I have no interest in it. But you get into the real stuff, the real Thomas Jefferson, the real Benjamin Franklin, you know, how the nation came about, how, you know, the odds against this happening, and the words they said, and the people that they studied, and the words that they said, and common law, and what it's all about, the power and the authority that the people have. We have to teach our children to do the same thing. Train up a child on how they should walk, and when they were older, they will not depart from it. That is a promise. It's psychology, too. But that's a promise from God. God promises that. Train your children morally minded. They'll be morally minded when they're older. They will not walk away from that. They will not. They cannot. It's the core of their being because you've etched that into their brain. It is habitual inside them, either good habits or bad habits. Okay? So we got to get into our school and train up our children in morals. Train up our children in the law of the land. Train up our children in the court process, the political process, the judicial process. Train up our children to step up and take control of their destiny, to take control so that they can have their liberty. If you don't know what your liberty is, then how do you know that they're violating it? I mean, we don't have a republic no more. We are not a republic anymore. In a sense, we are. Because they really can't take that away from us, and structurally it's all still there. It's just hidden behind the skeleton of statutes. But we can get it back. That's what we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance, to get that back, to take it back. And so we can do that. But it requires knowledge. It requires time. It requires reading. It requires being a good example to our children. You know, we have a plan to get into the schools and bring the education back to the local, to the locals, back to the grassroots, and get competition going between the people of this place and that place, and let them decide what their children will learn. Get rid of this bullshit, curriculum. From central education that is shoved down our throats. Get rid of all that stuff. Oh, it's all propaganda. There is no reason in the world, I've said this numerous times, absolutely zero reason in the world, okay, if a child is brought into an educational, structure and they are taught correctly and taught the right things, and part of that is being taught correctly. We've got to get rid of a lot of these teachers, get rid of these unions and get rid of them, get real teachers in there. And professors. But there's no reason why any child should have to go any more, generally speaking, than 8th grade. That's it. You know, you go back 75 years, 100 years ago, 75 years ago, 50 years, well, maybe 75 years ago, you know, 8th grade was the level. Okay? That was the level. And you can learn, you can have a college education at 8th grade. I know, I've seen it. I've seen children, and look at, they all advance at this rate as long as they're given the same structure in the school and you give them the information they need. You train them up. You teach them how to think. You teach them the interest of these things. What's so interesting and exciting about this subject, you know, whatever the subject may be, the sciences, mathematics, the civics, the judicial process, the political process, all of these different subjects, okay? When they come out, they should know how to defend themselves in a court, what the law of the land is, what their unalienable rights are. Let them know that they're the owners of this nation. We're the masters. We are not subject to any man's law, period. We are not subject to any man's law. These statutes, we are not subject to them. That's what the word sovereign means. We are the lawmakers. We made the law by the Constitution. That's the law of the land. And we've established that we're under the law of God. Nature's God. So that's the common law. That's God's law. We don't get to meddle around in that. You know, that God has laid out, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. We don't need to learn much about that. It's already in our hearts. Everybody knows when someone's been injured. That's the key to common law, you know. It's common law is just said in a few words, do no harm, period. If someone's been injured, you're a human being. You could look at an individual and say, boy, that person has been injured by that person. You don't need any kind of a law school to understand that. That's what common law is, dealing with the problems. And having 12 people, if you can't get them to agree, you know, the person who injured the person who is the victim, and you can't fix that without sending them to court, then you send them to court and 12 people will decide. And they will come up with a good decision. 12 people looking at this problem from every angle, different perspectives, different mindsets, discussing the issues and working out a solution. What are we going to do? And jail is not the answer. Yes, in certain cases, jail is the answer, but jail is not the answer. If you got a black cape on, I think jail may be the answer. A little humor there, but maybe I'm a little serious too. But, you know, we need to take control. You got to learn. You got to read. Take our courses, but read. You know, I mentioned this before also. I'm a Bible student over 40 years a Bible student, of the Bible. And my teacher in the very beginning, his key point, and I followed his instruction on this, read. Do your studies, yeah, you this, that, the other thing. Look at other men's studies and, you know, take it back to the Bible and see if it works out, if that's a correct solution, because it always goes back to the conclusion that you have to, in your heart, believe. By laying it out line upon line, precept upon precept, but the bottom line is read. You get the whole picture eventually. Everything comes together. The inspiration. You get these epiphanies, your Helen Keller moments. I've had a lot of epiphanies, a lot of Helen Keller moments, because I read, and have a desire, an earnest desire to understand and learn those things. And when you see the interest of it, hey, you can't be stopped. You set a kid on fire with this stuff, and you get their interest going, and they focus and start to see how exciting this stuff is and how powerful it is and how much they need it to control their own lives. Believe me, you're not going to be able to stop them at that point. But that's what we have to do. We have to take back our educational process. And again, we have a plan to do that too, and using the committee men process to do it, because committee men will be in every county. My county alone is a required 249 committee men, and that's just for the Republican Party. The Democrat Party has the same number. But that's one of the other things we need to do, is get rid of the parties, because we don't want the politics. There's no need for politics in our political process. Why do we need that? That's all about me getting ahead of you and getting some legislation that leans to me and is up against you. That's politics. That's not what we're about. That's not what government is used to be used for. To get someone in office that's going to take care of a special group, an interest group here or there, above the other people, and give them a higher leverage, and that's criminal. That's nothing short of criminal. Jefferson was disgusted with this. George Washington was disgusted with this. Adams was disgusted with this. Madison was disgusted with this. They wanted no part of it. And yet it had to be, you know, right up from the beginning that they started. So we've been nibbled at from the very beginning. We need to crush it once and for all. We need to finish the revolution once and for all and bring back the Constitution. That's the law of the land, and we don't want nothing else. But you can't have it if you're not educated. And you certainly can't have it if we don't get up to the battle now, to step up and to fight now. Now is the time. You know, we've been waiting for this for a long time. Everything looks like it's the right time to do what we want to do right now. So let's do it. You know, give support. We need financial support. We need people involved. We need people paying attention. Even if you don't join a committee, You got to pay attention to what's going on and be ready to respond when the battle cry comes, because there will be a battle cry. And we're going to need, you know, critical mass to meet this process, to meet this thing, to win, to take control. And so we're going to need critical mass. And it starts with you. Now is the time. Let's get on a campaign of getting the people. We have almost 7,000 members. We're approaching the 7,000 mark. Let's get on a campaign. Whatever people have time, maybe connect with our welcoming committee. Let's get on a campaign to re-energize our entire membership. Let's get on a campaign for our membership to duplicate itself. If we got our membership, let's just say, you know, this is impossible, of course, but let's say we can get all 7,000 members operating and involved, woken up and responding and learning and involved. And each one of those people went out on once a week to pull one person in, okay, maybe two or three and one stays, whatever, one person in. In 1 week, we have 14,000. Another week, we have 28,000. And you know how that goes. Now, I'm not saying that we could do that with 7,000 people. We'll never do that. No organization has 100% activity with their members. Some people join things and they don't even remember they joined it. And we're no different. We do get people who respond, you know, to tell them, stop your newsletters. We don't want your information. We don't want your letter. But they joined. Okay, and on every time we send out any information to our members, any time, right on the bottom, there's exactly how to, you know, remove yourself. If you remove yourself from our mailing list, you are removing yourself from our membership, because we are an active group. We don't want people to just tap in here and sit as a member and not do nothing. We need people at bare minimum, educating themselves. Okay, reading. Maybe taking the courses. Everybody should take the courses. But bare minimum, educating themselves and donating $5 a month or more. That's the bare minimum requirements that we ask. And when that's not asking too much. I'll get back to it. It's one cup of coffee and a bagel a month. That's all. Give up one cup of coffee and a bagel a month. Everyone can afford $5,000. Just think, $5. Just think. How much money we would pull in a month and what we could do with that money if everybody gave that $5. 7,000 members times $5 is $35,000. $35,000. What we could do with that is just unbelievable. And this is the structure to do it. National Liberty Alliance, we are the organization to do what has to be. We're the answer. We're the solution to what needs to be done after the swamp is drained. And even if the swamp doesn't get drained, we could still provide the solution once we get powerful enough from the standpoint of critical mass. And critical mass requires everyone pulling people into our meetings, pulling people to our website. Get them to our website and tell them about our Monday night call. Get them to the call. Get them to the website. Get them to the call. And let's hook them on liberty. Let's hook them on justice. Let's hook them on taking control and learning how to be how to consent to government. Let's hook them on the things necessary to be free. You know, so let's just focus in and do it. But the campaign is on. I want to press this campaign. I'm going to take it beyond what needs to be done for the court case. I want to press this right into moving into the sheriff's plan to get books out to the sheriffs. Now look at. I mentioned how much money we would need in order to do these booklets. I forget what the, let me think, it was something like, it was about $50,000, let's say. If everyone gave $5 a month, in 2 months we'd have more than enough. We'd be able to get 250,000 books, mail out to the sheriffs, respond to anything else the sheriffs need and want, and have more money to put towards other court cases that we need to press upon. There's a lot of issues we need to deal with, a lot of people we need to go after and grow. You know, the website at some point in time needs a huge, 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 mega renovation, okay? Because I would like to get the website on the political side, as much information there to the people as much as the judicial side of things. So there's a political side and the judicial side. That's what gives us our consent of government. We need to control both the political and the judicial. We have to have these people in our office respond. When we send them a letter, we give them a call or whatever, and they respond, yes, sir. Okay, I'm not going to do that no more. I'm sorry. I understand. You know, that's what they'll be like if the committee men give them a call and chastise them, get on their case because they're not obeying the Constitution. They're doing something stupid, you know. That's the response you will get. Instead, the people get what? People get silence. That's what they get. Okay, let's move on. I'm sorry for taking – I never thought I was going to go this long. But anyway, we're going to open our open forum, so we're going to take our first caller. Let's see. Is that you, Manny?
Yeah.
227?
Yes,
you don't want the questions, John?
Oh, yeah, hang on 1 second, Manny. We'll be right back to you. I got some questions I have to respond to first, so hang on. Let me just mute you for a second. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, Jan. I got lost.
Okay. You've talked for, 2-3 months now about the committee men, and again tonight, and about how everyone sometime in their life should become a committeeman. Well, we have one member in L.A. out of all the 7,000 who has been listening to you, walked her papers, and got on the ballot and got herself elected as a committee woman. And that's Stephanie from Meade County in South Dakota. So I think we should give her a big round of applause as being the first member of NLA that has become a committee woman. Then I have a fairly large number of questions, but the first four are for Brent, and I don't see him here yet, so we'll move down farther.
Him off till next week. I don't think he's here tonight, but go ahead.
No, I haven't seen him till right now. I looked. I heard someone make what I thought was a fallacious argument concerning the right to vote for illegal immigrants. Recently, in California, some municipal law was passed stating it was legal for illegal immigrants to vote for city officials. The person making the argument said that while it was illegal to vote illegals to vote at state and federal levels, it's entirely legitimate for the illegals to vote for city officials. So the question is, if it's illegal at the state and federal level, how can it possibly be legal for illegals to vote at the city or municipal level? It just sounds like another case of local bureaucrats going outside the law so they can make up the rules as they go along and then call their actions legal.
When someone breaks the law, especially when they're caught, okay, when someone breaks the law, they lose all rights until whatever penalty or restitution or whatever is required to deal to take care of that. Once they pay their restitution, not to the state but to the people, you know, the individuals particularly that's been injured, then they regain their rights again. And so if you got someone that's unlawfully entered into this nation, into this country, how could any government, city government, or any other government, give these people the right to vote? The only reason they want them there is they want the un-American mind. That's what this is all about. You see, even though we've been dumbed down, we've been living free and in certain ways, and we take certain things for granted, even though we don't talk about it, just taken for granted. We have a right of certain thing. We don't maybe not talk about it, the general public I'm talking about, not us, because we do talk about it, and everyone should be talking about it. But generally speaking, being born in America and coming up as one of the people and exercising liberties to some degree and understanding certain things, we have an American mindset. People coming from another place into our nation have a different mindset. And it's all about what they can get to begin with, you know. And by the way, I'm finding myself being repeated. I think that might be through you, Jan. But anyway, it's all about, getting something, and the Democrats particularly, and it's not just the Democrats, but it is generally mostly them. That whole organization was formed in this purpose to get their power from people who have an un-American mindset, and that would, of course, would be aliens coming in from another nation. Now, people are coming legally, you know. They also can't vote until they become a citizen, and there's nothing wrong with that word being called a citizen. They've made it evil. They've taken control of that word and makes it something else and calls anybody that's a citizen has citizen rights. That's a lie from hell. But in any event, let's talk using the words that that are real words that have a meaning, and we're not concerned with how they've robbed the meaning and made it mean something else. So, anybody who comes in this country, they become a citizen. In order to become a citizen, they have to take a certain test. I don't know how these tests are anymore. Maybe they're really dumbed down. I don't know. But I do know that to some degree, people who have become citizens by coming into the country as aliens and then becoming a citizen of the United States seem to know more about the Constitution than we, the people who were born here, because we're not taught in school, and we need to be taught in school. So that's what it's all about. You can't first look at that's null and void. And when we, the people, take control, the people of California, who will apply justice, they will deal with that problem. And we will assist them, you know, National Liberty Alliance will assist them in any way with information, knowledge, and counsel, and whatever they need in order for them to take, you know, control on the grassroots level out there in California, whatever city it is, whatever town they're in, and take that control back and nullify those laws and stop it all. President Trump is already working on that. We the people need to be working on that. And we have to check to see, what I'd like to know what these tests, let me throw a challenge out there to somebody to find out, maybe they can get the information on what needs to be read. What are these people coming in that are becoming citizens, you know, and taking the test to become a citizen, what are they learning? I think we need to know. So someone can kind of look around and see if they can find that. You know, maybe it's a PDF copy of what everything you need to know to be a citizen of the United States, you know, whatever's on the test, that kind of thing. We need to look at that, because if that's a problem, too, we need to fix that, just like we need to fix the rules of the court. And we need to also, you know, fix the jurist handbook and so on. But anyway, it's ridiculous to think that an illegal alien should have a right to vote. That's absurd. I mean, you know, just ridiculous. But go ahead, Jan. You're muted, by the way.
Unmuted.
Yeah. Some of these I think you could answer without any problem. Let's give it a shot. This fellow says, I met with my sheriff buddy last Thursday, and he said that Richard Mack had a note in his last newsletter to the sheriffs that the governor could fire or recuse the sheriff in his state. Can the governor of a state fire
that
the sheriff
is absurd.
In one of these counties?
Are you serious? Richard Mack had that?
Yep, that's what it says.
Oh, my goodness. We better go check that. I can't believe that he's gone that way, because he knows better. No, only the people can fire the sheriff. And that's the key point to having a sheriff that is not controlled by any political animal like a governor. I mean, that's what they're doing here in New York. That's what our gun lawsuit is all about. They're moving control of weapons here from the away from the sheriff and over to the state police. And the state police, the commissioner or whatever they call him, what was the word they called him? He's a I forget. But in any event, whatever his title is, okay, it's the head of the state police, who was asked, and I've mentioned this before, he was asked numerous times, you know, on this interview, it was a press release, and they asked him a question, if the governor gave you a command to take the guns away from the people, will you do it? And he said yes. So you'll have the full force of the state police coming knocking on our doors trying to take our guns, okay? And that's what you get when you have political animals controlling, you know, something like this. The sheriff is a constitutional officer. He's bound by the Constitution. Unfortunately, most of them don't know it, but what it is or anything. But anyway, we need to re-educate them. But they're bound by the Constitution, and the people, only the people can fire him. Okay. Now, he could be indicted. I mean, that's a possibility. If he commits a crime and he's indicted, he can be removed from office. I don't even, well, I know even impeachment. You can't remove a sheriff for impeachment. Well, maybe for impeachment, yes. Yeah, you can.
Well, he's an elected official. You can't fire an elected official.
No, you cannot, but
however,
he can be impeached.
However, there are statutes, New York State for one, because the Governor Cuomo told one of the sheriffs that he was going to take him out of office if he didn't do what he told him to do. And what it is they're part of the executive department, and the government is the chief executive. So he believes that he can make him stand down or whatever. But I think that he'd have to go through an indictment to do it. I mean,
well,
he
absolutely.
The power to do it as the governor. And I don't know why Sheriff Mack is buying into that.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Look, and if you want to learn about this, read Marbury versus Madison, because that's what Marbury versus Madison is all about on a federal level, where the administration wanted to remove people who were appointed for a term, okay, and particularly a marshal or even a judge. Marbury versus Madison says, nope, Constitution doesn't say anything about the removal of that person. And once they're put in office, they are bound by the Constitution to obey that. Now, they can be impeached, okay, if they're breaking the law. They can be indicted if they're breaking the law. And the people can get rid of them at the next election. And Marbury versus Madison is very clear about this. So read Marbury versus Madison, and that's the answer for the sheriff. It's the same thing. Look, a marshal is a sheriff on the federal level, okay? And so it's the same thing. You're gonna learn through Marbury versus Madison this kind of a thing. The people elected, in this case, the people elected the sheriff. In the case of the marshal, the president, I think, well, the president gets to choose the marshal or the judges, and the Congress has to approve them, and then they come into power. They cannot be removed in any way, shape, or form, except through going through their term or, again, being impeached or indicted. So, all right, next question.
Yes, it's kind of the same. If the sheriff is in good behavior but does not enforce a law or statute which the governor demands to be enforced, can he be removed?
No, again, only the people can do it. He could be impeached. Back to the same answer. There's nothing new about that.
No.
So. And it's up to us. Look, that's why we have to become committee men. It's up to us to choose people who know the Constitution. And one of my questions as a committee man, if I run for the committee man again and I became a committee man, which I might do, just to hopefully give a little leadership. But, one of the questions I would ask anybody running from office is if you're asked a question, are you going to go talk to an attorney to get an answer concerning the Constitution? Or you got to educate yourself enough that you know the answer. And, of course, a lot of the questions we'll be asking them, we would want to frame out. Maybe we'll create questions for people that could ask, suggestions that people on the grassroots could ask. You can ask any question you want to make sure these people know the Constitution. What is the extent of their authority, their jurisdiction, their powers, and what is expected of them? And what does it mean to be a constitutional law enforcer? What does that mean? What are you going to do for the people? Are you going to step up and stand on the side of some state trooper or a city cop or a town cop or anything? Or are you going to look at the situation, see maybe that a constitutional violation has taken place and deal with those law enforcement agencies and get rid of them and say, hey, get out of here. You have no power or authority here, and you're violating this person's unalienable rights. What kind of a sheriff? That's the kind of sheriff we need, I told my sheriff last time I saw him, I mentioned to him about, what would happen if these police would come to take our guns and so on and so forth. If we called him, would he respond? He said he would. And he says there's in New York, even though they have the laws that they got going, they have no enforcement behind it. There's other things that need to be in the law, and it's not there. So he said there's no enforcement anyway. But he would protect us, so he said. And so hopefully we'll never have to find that out. But someone will have to find that out, and hopefully he's going to do the right thing. All right, what else you got, Jan?
If the sheriff determines that the governor is in bad behavior by demanding certain actions for the sheriff to take. What should the sheriff do?
For a governor to be, if he broke the law, he could arrest him. But I wouldn't, if I was a sheriff, I definitely would not arrest the governor. I would go to a grand jury and talk with them and see once what they have to say to get the indictment beforehand. And then you can go and arrest the governor. A governor can be arrested, okay? Now, that may be a debatable point. We do know that a president cannot be arrested, okay? But a governor is a different thing, and I don't think it could be challenged. I think we have had governors in office arrested, haven't we? I think we have. But in any event, you can get an indictment, and an indictment would remove them. You don't have to make the arrest right away, but the indictment in itself would remove them from office, and then they can be arrested. Also, you could seek impeachment from the legislators if they'll cooperate. Unfortunately, they don't even know what to do. So anyway, what else you got?
Okay, the last one. What is the next step when you receive a contempt of court summons?
I'm not understanding. Being recipient of that, or I'm not sure.
Yeah, apparently somebody got a notice in the mail or
contempt of court. What court?
Doesn't say. No clue.
Okay, well, if it's a court of justice, and I don't know of any in the United States, then it could be some valid. I'd have to know the situation, because contempt of court is thrown over, all over the place and shouldn't be a lot of times. And, you know, judges are limited to that. I know Brent was talking about that a while back. I think let's talk with Brent next time. Let's save that question for next week. Maybe you see what Brent has to say about that. All right, what else you got?
Okay. No, that's the last one.
Okay.
If it's a summons and they don't answer it, they can throw them in jail. I'm telling you right now. That's what.
Oh, yeah. I would not say don't answer that and respond to it because, yes, even though they don't have the power, the authority, they will throw you in jail. Absolutely, yeah.
Look, it's a new game they play with debtors' prisons. There's no debtors' prisons, supposedly, in the United States. But the judge will order somebody to do something, to pay something, to bring something to the court by such and such a date. And usually they make it something that's hard to do that they know they can't do. And when they don't do it, he holds them in contempt and he throws them in jail. That's the game that they're playing today. So, you know, if they got a summons in the mail and it says summons, they need to act on it or do something because they're going to end up in jail. That's
absolutely. Yeah, don't leave it big. Yeah, you got to respond to it and figure out what you got to do. I'd say, I hate to say this, talk to a lawyer, but to some degree you might have to just to stay out of jail. Okay, Jen, is there anybody with an announcement or anything? Are we done?
Nope, we're all done, I think.
Okay. All right, we'll go to Q&A now. I'm going to go back over to Manny. Manny, you got the mic. How you doing? Good to hear from you.
Hey, guys. Good evening. Great listening to the conversation. John, always you are spot on the comments that you make, and Gerard also. Just briefly, I mean, you guys know where I come from and how involved I am. And I just wanted to give whoever is listening my take on to be involved and get involved in the political ranks. My message to whoever is listening tonight is you need to sit at the table of the decision makers in order to change the political arena in our country. And when I say change, is restore the constitutional values. That is what I'm talking about, change. I have been in this country, as some of you know, since 1974, came to this country legally, went through the ranks, became a citizen of the United States. I ran for political position in my local town, John knows, great opposition. I was a Tea Party candidate at the time, first time, took a lot of heat. My family took a lot of heat. My business took a lot of heat, but I won. And this year passed, I ran again for re-election. They spent for my seat, my Republican opponents, spend over $100,000 to defeat me. And I spent probably about 5,000. I won. I beat them at their own game, and I won. The bottom line is that we really have to be determined. Talking the talk is good, you know, and we, I for one, learned the ropes from the bottom up. I sat in the classrooms. I studied the commitment process. I ran for commitment. I became a committee person. Right now, I'm the vice chair of the Dutchess County Conservative Party. It is important to know what you're getting involved to, but at the same time, you know, you need to have stamina to really go through the process. And every time I have a meeting and I talk to a bunch of people, my advice to whoever wants to really stand up, it's simple. Know your rights, know the process, and then get involved. You know, we always look for candidates to run for us and represent us. But yet, throughout the United States, there are people out there that have a massive amount of knowledge. The only thing that they miss is the courage to step forward and start getting involved politically. Look, what I did in my town is what Donald Trump did in the nation, in our nation. It takes a lot of guts. He knew what he was dealing with. He's not stupid. He played the role, and he beat him at their own game. Now being president, he's doing whatever he can, whatever he can. But he has to watch his back. My fear, and I pray for him every day, is that one of these days somebody's going to get over him and do away with him. And that will really create chaos in this country. Right now, the left, I don't call them the Democrats. I call them the socialists, communists. They don't care. They are so desperate that they would do whatever they can. I mean, they some of these representatives, Gerard named some of the senators. They don't deserve to even be called senators. But they have called a jihad on the President of the United States. And yet these people are still allowed to represent certain communities and collect paychecks from taxpayers in Washington to misrepresent the majority of the citizens in this country. It's a disaster. As far as citizenship, I became a citizen in 1979. And yes, there was a test you had to take. You had to know some principle of the Constitution, president, the role of the Senate, the judiciary. I found out just recently, I go back and forth from New York City. Last week, a foreigner brought his mom to this country on a temporary visa. He was happy to tell me last week that his mom is becoming a citizen. I said to him, how did she do it? She didn't even take the test. I said, I have found a way for her to become a citizen without going through the due process. So, you know, we are losing. Our socialist representatives have manipulated the system and broken the rules for so long that some of us doubt now, like the gentleman that was asking a question about the sheriff. Yeah, they've removed sheriffs. And if the push comes to shove, in New York, the governor has the power and he will use the power to remove a judge. If he puts out that a certain sheriff has to execute a certain amount of power according to the governor and he refuses to do so, in our Constitution in New York State, there is a provision where the governor could recall that sheriff. So this is where we're at. Not many people know. You know, but it is scary times. And, you know, people like yourselves, they'll listen to these programs, they're not involved. I say just go the extra length, you know, read, become knowledgeable. And once you have done that, you have to put that into perspective and say, what can I do for the country that I live in? You know, I see our kids and, you know, the millennials. This is scary. This is really scary, you know, what the schools have put out these days. for the last 40 years. And going back to what we have today, to what we used to have, and the freedom that has been taken away from us, it's scary. I mean, President Obama has done so much damage in this country and worldwide that having Donald Trump as president, it's been a blessing. God looked for us one more time and said, you guys have one more chance to really redeem yourself and step up to the plate. I mean, that's all I have to say tonight. I think that you guys do a great job, but you know, from time to time I will come back and say to anybody in the United States that wants to really make a difference, you have to sit at the table where the decision makers are, and you have to confront them, whether it's your local councils in your town, your village, you know, start the process, and people in your community will appreciate and we'll thank you for what you do. I mean, I want to say God bless to all you guys, and please, please go on a mission. This is a mission that we're in. And sometimes I look at myself and say, why am I doing this? It is the only thing, like John said, you know, we are God's children. God has put us in a certain situation to really make a difference, and that's what we are for. We need to make a difference.
All right, thanks a lot, Manny. Let me ask you, because I'm not sure. What office do you hold? Is it councilman or town councilman or something?
Yeah, councilman. I'm like we spoke about. And you know what?
Right.
I've saved so much money for the local taxpayers. I stopped a project where certain corporation were using taxpayers' dollars to buy land and take it off the tax map. And in our community, it's called civic. It's a corporation that uses tax dollars and grants. And people say, well, you know, once they take a parcel of 200, 400 acres farm, they go there and they say to the farmer, you can live here, but we will help you by giving you $2 million. And the farmer is happy, but he doesn't realize that he's no longer the owner of that property. And it's happening all over the Hudson Valley. They've appropriated land right on the Hudson River. And these are companies that get funds through the EPA. And it's all, for some of us who know, it's Agenda 21 been put in place in our communities. And some people embrace it as a great thing, but they don't see the damage to the taxpayer that has to really fund these programs. So I stopped, you know, I stopped two giant things that were happening in my town. And also sitting in the meetings with the planners, what they teach these people, it's all about Agenda 21, rules, regulations, how to not give permits, how to stop projects, certain projects from happening. These are all rights that are taken away right under our eyes. And when people go and apply for developing a couple of lots and they get denied because of so-called statutes that they create, and people take that as a, you know, the Bible, and they go back and say, okay, thank you and have a nice evening. We have to stop this. This is what, you know, this is what is attacking all of our rights as humans. Nobody can tell anybody else, unless you infringe on constitutional rights, that you can or cannot put a bungalow in your 20-acre property. And yet they're stopping people from doing that. They're stopping people from doing things that they've been doing for years. In other words, in my town, they were trying to also put that you can't have a furnace to heat your home and with heat and hot water. And I stopped that. I said, you know, this has been going on in our community, but these are some of the things that are happening all over the United States. And people run away. They say, let me move to Montana. Let me move to Texas. But we have to stand our grounds. There is no way we can go to New York. I'm sorry, John?
And it's heading out there, too, to Montana, Texas. It's going nationwide.
Yeah. We had some friends that they moved to Montana. You know them and I know them. But you know what? You know, you have to be really careful because in remote areas like that, we have liberals that they have manipulated and changed the system. So when you get there, you think that you're where you want to be, but guess what? You have the same problems. These people, they spread, like you said. You mentioned rats. They're like a bad disease that you cannot eradicate. It's like cancer that if you don't stop it, it's going to spread all over. So this is where we're at. I mean, I know. And, what's going on with a lot of the invasions with these religious groups coming through this country brought in by Obama to change and attack us in our communities. And we're being attacked. And nobody, everybody says, well, they have rights. Well, we all have rights, but we have to stand our ground. I mean, when I came to this country, I honor the country. I love the country. I say to myself and to everybody that this is my country. If I had a chance, somebody asked me to go to war for the United States, I would. And I'm not going to say that, just because, but I really feel that way. And I tell my children the same way. But, when we see what's going on out there in the streets with these millennials, it's a scary stuff. It's really scary. That's my message for everybody listening tonight. Step up to the plate. I tell that to everybody. Don't look for somebody else to do what you could do for yourself. You need to really step up to the plate and say, yes, I can, and yes, I could do, and sit at the table of the decision makers, just like I would say Donald Trump has done. It wasn't an easy fight, but he got it done, and we all do it, and it could be done. Trust me, it could be done.
Okay, thank you, Manny. Appreciate it. And
you're welcome.
I'd like to add
welcome,
on
guys.
To a few things. I'd like to add on to a few things that you had said. As far as the Constitution giving anybody authority or power to remove a judge from office other than through the process of impeachment, Marbury versus Madison deals with that. And remember, the laws of the land, the Constitution, which is the law of the land, overrules any of these things. As we read in Article, where is this? Article 6 of the Constitution, it says, this Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuant thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land. And the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. So a true court of law would prevent a governor or anybody to remove even a judge that was elected by the people. You remember, on the federal level, it's appointed, and we can understand that. You can't go voting judges in to the 50 states. But on the local level, judges are elected. And so they serve the people, and they have to run for election every so often. We need to get rid of the politics inside that political process, and then it's pure. Until then, it's not pure. So it's a problem.
Well,
this. This could be battled, though, by using Marbury versus Madison as the standard, which is the law of the land, and the Constitution, and it can override anything to the Constitution's to the contrary, notwithstanding. So it's null and void, so it can be battled. But go ahead, Benny.
Now you mentioned the committee man and the committee woman. It's extremely important because, believe it or not, and you know this well, at the local level, at the county level, judges have to run through elections, and the judges have to come through the committees in order to have the endorsement to be on a ballot. I know that because this year, two county judges, one was a surrogate court judge, and one was a family judge, came in front of us, and we got to ask all kinds of questions. And, this is how you really try to put in our courts people that stand up, and they stand up to the Constitution. If we fail to really represent us in this process, John, you've been through the courts. We found that the people that we found out there are very liberal, and they don't stand up. They don't even want to hear the word the Constitution. So even in the courts, I agree with you, John, that they should uphold the Constitution. But I would say on a scale of 1 to 10, probably 9 times out of 10, they don't.
Right.
And so, yeah.
And the committeeman can deal with that.
That is a big issue.
And the committeeman can deal with that. Again, like you say, you give them the questions, they don't know the answers, you're not going to support them. They can
Correct.
Go home and learn the answers and come back, and then you'll support them. And once they're
Correct.
In office, if we control the process strong enough, which right now we don't, but if we can get to the other side and control it, if these people violate their oath, violate their commitment to us, number one, we're not going to walk their papers no more. Number two,
Correct.
We give them a phone call and let them know, hey, you can't be doing this, otherwise we're going to recall you or we're not going to support you. Maybe the election's coming up in a year. We're not going to support you. You know, you better repent and do the right thing. And believe me, they will be obedient to the committeeman
yep.
if the committeeman
yep.
has the proper power and authority that we're trying to get them
yep.
back to. Okay, so that's key.
Yep.
And I'd like to
yep.
just make not a correction, but just maybe someone might misunderstand. When you were talking about running against someone for office, and then after that you spoke about the committeeman, so people might have confused that, whereas you ran against someone who had a lot of money, and you only came in with about $5,000, and you were able to win, and you were talking about running for the office of town councilman and not for
Correct.
Committeeman. Committeeman
Correct.
Is a very simple thing to run for.
Correct.
We need to pass the torch to other people as much as possible. Go in for 2 years, pass it to someone else. And that's when we get enough people excited to do these things. But it takes only to go out and get a very small amount of signatures for yourself and file it. And as long as you're not challenged, if you're challenged, then you go into an election through the primary. You call it the primary election, primary challenge. And then whoever gets the most vote in that primary challenge will become the committeeman. But most committeemen don't have to go through that process.
I want to share a funny story, just one last thing. This past year, we ran the committee that was last year. And you could see in your town or in your city, whatever you're running, how many seats are available, and you could get the information how many signatures you required in that district. Well, we found out last year that there was a district that only required 2 signatures to be the committee person. And I got a young guy, first year college kid, and I told him, I says, you need to go get those 2 signatures. And that had been a seat that was taken a long time by a Republican, an entrenched Republican. And we got to win that seat. And that kid right now sits in the committee. It is doing a little homework. At the end of the day, it's not very hard. But you have to play the game the smart way. You know, you have to know the rules of the game, and you have to know how to play them.
Amen. And National Liberty Alliance will teach that. As a matter of fact, we have most of that information and details up on our site already, but we will focus later on once we seize control of the judicial process. Okay, thanks, Jet Manny. Appreciate
your
call.
Have a good night, everybody.
All right, let's go to our next caller. Let's see. I believe it looks like maybe Fred. Fred from California. California Fred.
Yes, sir. Mr. Duresh? I have to tell you this one more time. Now, I first want to apologize. I am the individual who promised to give you what tests the aliens take to become citizens, and they won't release that information. I was told by Jan that if I got something with sample questions, it would satisfy that. So I'm going to leave that in your hands. Now,
did you have to approach to try to get that information that they refused, do you know?
Yeah, it was a FOIA, but they wouldn't do it because it's an active test and they were afraid people could copy it. I didn't have standing to get it.
Well, we don't necessarily need the test, but what I'd like to get all the, I'm sure they have a book or a booklet.
They do,
probably PDF
with samples.
That's what we would like to get.
You can get one almost anywhere. They're online. They're in bookstores. But I'm
all right. Well, if you got a link to that, give that to Jan when you have a chance, or anybody else that has a chance, give that link to Jan.
Here's the reason I got on the queue tonight, and I'm bringing this up again because it's so darn important. You are talking about suing now. If you're going to sue, sir, I suggest strongly that you listen to what I'm telling you. Take notes. Get a pencil and paper. The United States Court of Federal Claims. Have you been there?
No, I haven't.
All right. I want you to go there. Go to the United States Court of Federal Claims. Okay, and then are you there?
Well, not right now, but I just wrote a note on it, but I'll look into it. We looked a little bit into that, but good.
Okay. Well, okay, all right. Now when you get there, you click site map.
Okay.
Now, after site map, you get rules of United States Court of Federal Claims. And then it's got rules archives, the third one down. You click rules archives.
Rules archives.
Okay, now the reason I bring that up is because, sir, when you go to the rules archives, all of a sudden you get all of these things that are taken out, not used anymore. Rule 5.1, constitutional challenge to a statute. Notice, certification, and intervention, not used anymore. Now, if you're going to sue somebody, that's where you start. These rules, they are depriving us of going through and demanding our rules. They don't even, our court rights. I'll go on. I'm going to read a couple more.
Well, I'll go look at that, but do bear in mind that their rules are rules of civil procedure. We're not interested in that. I'm not saying that we wouldn't use these rules because they could make sense and logic, and it, we would. I'm not saying we wouldn't use Rule 5. It sounds good, and we probably will use it, but go ahead. But I want to make the point that the rules in themselves are so bastardized. I mean, they're so they're just disgusting, and they just take us away from our Constitution.
Exactly my point, John. John, you want to sue somebody, I'm telling you, sue this court, because this is supposed to be the bastion. It's supposed to be where we take our case to the federal court for grievance. And they are removing our ability to do that by not using the forms that are appropriate to do it.
Okay, so you're suggesting that we add the Court of Federal Claims in our lawsuit as suing them.
You're darn right. This is where you. Okay. This is the treasure.
Well, I like your idea. I'm going to go read up on this, and see how I can understand.
Go to the titles where it spells out the documents that are no longer used, and I'll read a couple more. I don't want to take a lot of time.
Before you read one or two more, my question here is sort of a question and a statement. The purpose of this particular Court of Federal Claims is to go for grievances. I believe that's what you said. And that's why we should sue them, because they're not standing up and taking the grievances.
Rule 38, right to a jury trial demand, not used. Rule 39, trial by jury or by court, not used.
Okay, those are good rules to look at, bring up, and use.
They're not using those forms. Selecting jurors, not used. Number of jurors, verdict, not used.
What number is that? What number is that, selecting jurors and so on?
That's rule number 47.
47.
Rule number
48. Because I'm writing this down. I got 5, 38, 39, and 47, but go ahead. It's helpful for me to lead, for you to lead me to the things that you've researched so I can hone right in, you know?
Yes, sir. I am sorry for rule number 48, number of jurors, verdict, not used. Special verdict, general verdict, and questions, not used. That is rule number 49. Rule number 50.
When you're reading these things and you're looking at the rules, is that what it says, not used, or does it say something like
that? Yes, sir. These are forms that they don't use anymore.
And these were part of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, correct? They were once part of that, but they're not part of it anymore.
Yes, sir. This Federal Claims Court is where you go to challenge a constitutional question. You got a statute that's violating a right. Now, the gentleman that was here before was talking about, oh, Agenda 21, and you got all these rules, and what can you do? This is where you are supposed to go, the Federal Claims Court,
right,
where you have violation of a right, and you file your paperwork. And,
well,
and
absolutely.
They're taking these forms and removing them so you have no recourse.
Exactly what they've done. They've removed everything that'll get you into a common law court. And just to clear the other point up is we can do this politically too. You know, if enough people get involved, the problem is enough people aren't involved. But if they did get involved and do, for instance, what Manny does here in Wappingers, New York, here in Dutchess County, and do what he does, you can snip it right in the butt right there on a local level and don't allow it in. But you know what? It doesn't matter where and how far advanced Agenda 21 is in any state, any community, anywhere. It really doesn't matter. As long as we the people step up, stand up, and take control and seize this opportunity, this moment in time, this moment in history where we could take back consent of the court, through the consent of the judiciary, therefore the consent of our government, but the consent of our judiciary, and we the people will remove it because it's unconstitutional. And we will talk about and we will advise people and help people lay out the necessary law to use to battle this and to take it down in your community. So we'll do it through the courts once we take control of the court. But you can do it right now. You know, look at Manny's one person, and he got into his local council, I guess it's called the town council, and became a councilman, and he influenced and worked with other people and influenced other people, and through that influence he was able to defeat these people through logic, you know, laying it out what these people are really all about. We can't allow this app to come into our town, and here's why. And he built an alliance in his town. And that's why he's being successful. But that's what we got to do. If you have this inkling to run for office potentially, then that's what you should do. And learn about that office and start working on the things you need to work to battle at that level. But go ahead, finish up there, Fred.
Yes, sir. Okay, Rule 50, it says judgment as a matter of law in a jury trial. The related motion for a new trial or a conditional ruling. It's not used. Rule 50, not used. Rule 51, I've already read that. It's instructions to the jury, objections, preserving a claim of error. Preserving a claim of error. Rule 51, not used. Rule 52. It's on and on. All you have to do
I'm going to research it. I was not aware of this, and you're explaining it to me pretty well, and I understand the importance of it now, and I'm going to go research this.
Now, just a minute. It's got special proceedings, and it's got condemning real or personal property, not used.
Mm-hmm.
Rule 71.1, I thought that would trigger you. You've got all these people being foreclosed on.
Absolutely.
Rule 72, magistrate judges, pretrial order, not used.
This Court of Federal Claims is, as reading here, is they've been expanding their jurisdiction, but they're for a specific type of tort against the federal government for money. Let me just read you this paragraph. That doesn't mean there's no juries in any federal courts. They're not using juries in the Court of Federal Claims. And those rules you're reading are for this court, the Court of Federal Claims. However, they've been taking more and more jurisdiction. That's the problem. It says here, in 1887, Congress passed the Tucker Act, which significantly expanded the court's jurisdiction to include all claims against the government except tort, equitable, and admiralty claims. The court thus today has nationwide jurisdiction over most suits for monetary claims against the government and sits without a jury to determine the issues of law and fact. The general jurisdiction of the court described in 28 U.S.C. subsection 1491 is over claims for lost compensation for the taking of private property, refund of federal taxes, military and civilian pay allowances, and damages for breaches of contracts with the government. The court also possesses jurisdiction over all claims for patent and copyright infringement against the United States, as well as over certain Indians. I don't want to read the whole thing, but it seems like they've expanded. This was for a quick justice of somebody who's been who's had their stuff done to them by the government that's seeking monetary damages. I don't know that this...
And I'm sure that can include the courts, too, as part of the government. They're a branch, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yes. But, you know, you would go in here. They also do the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, which created the court's Office of Special Matters to rule on petitions for compensation due to injuries attributed to specified vaccine.
I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I think one of the main reasons or the main things that Fred is bringing up, which really makes a lot of sense, is that these rules they're claiming are not being used. We need to look to see if these forms are in the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, because it sounds like it's been removed from the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure completely. And if that is the case, again, you know, it is the case where they have stacked everything in such a way that you cannot open a court of record. You cannot open a common law court of justice. And remember, a court of justice is when God rules. Anything else is not a court of justice. And this is very important to understand, you know.
Once again, I'm going to drive this one. I want to drive this one home because this is the paramount, most egregious I can think of is Rule 5.1, and it is constitutional challenge to a statute. Notice, certification, and intervention is not used. Now, if you can't challenge a statute in the federal court as a violation of a constitutional
Well, you know what? Just because they remove them doesn't mean we can't use them.
When we
put our papers together, we create our own forms. We don't adhere to their forms. I even change the forms that we file with, you know, and put boxes in their places where I can check for common law, court of record, and so on, and to get it through. And I reject the $400 that I have to give them, but we will give it to them to get into it, but we will fight for it back. And that's going to be our next move in the New York case, which we've already fought for it, and we're going to fight again. And maybe we'll use something in the records. Maybe there's something there that we can use that you're dealing to us here. But nevertheless, we have to get our $400 back. I mean, we can use it someplace else, obviously, but the bottom line is once we give them money for a service, then we're paying for something civil,
well,
and that's the problem.
Everything you see here with your New York gun law is nothing more than a statute and a constitutional challenge to a statute.
Right, exactly. We're going to use that. We're going to use that, definitely.
This is the proper court for it.
Well, you're right. You're right. And I'm going to look to see, you know, how right you might or might not be or what kind of – the bottom line is this. Here's the bottom line, okay? I don't know that is the proper place for us because we're in a particular jurisdiction and we're starting off at the beginning. But by suing them prevents them from sitting on our case also. And so to sue them and then sit in that courtroom there, you know, which is supposed to be a court of record as well as any other federal court in any district because that's the purpose. There are 94 federal districts so that people don't have to travel a long, long distance. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure this is in Washington, D.C., and I certainly don't want to travel 6 hours here.
I need to interrupt you one more time because I need to squeeze this in, too. It's very important you get this fact, okay? Number one, you do not want to sue this court. No, 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 no. You sue their paperwork.
Well, you can't sue the paperwork, and here's the
yes,
other problem.
Yes, you can, because the absence
no, no,
of
no,
paperwork.
No, no, no. Well, look at it. We can sue them for hiding or removing common law procedure. That we can do. But bear in mind, we don't want anyone, any judge that has a bar background to sit as a judge in our court. We want a person who is not a bar attorney. Now, of course, if we can find someone like Brent, for instance, who has kind of left or tried to work towards the common law side of things, who would be righteous in their decisions and rule on it because they know common law rules, the law of the land, then of course, we'd permit that. But that's going to be far and in between. But the bottom line is, and we're looking in to see who might sit as a traffic cop, so to speak, as a magistrate, other than a bar attorney. And other than any of the judges in any of these courts. This is a extraordinary thing we're doing, and it's going to require extraordinary things. And we'll figure it out as we go. But again, I don't know that we can sue this court.
I want to get back to one more point that's probably even
more
paramount.
Here's the other thing. Hold on, just one other point. I just realized something, and I'll let you talk. Just one other point. You know, this particular court is part of the judiciary. So when we sue the judiciary, they're getting sued too.
All right. Now, what I wanted to say was we need to research the law or the congressional regulations, the Supreme Court, whoever created this court and the rules that it had at creation. And we need to turn back the clock to the common law.
I'm going to ask Gerard. Gerard, do you have the time to research this court out a little more and then kind of bring me to par? You know, give me an update on a brief.
I'll look at it.
Brief view on it. So go through it, see what you see. Give me a briefing. I'm definitely going to go out there anyway to look at the rules that are quote unquote no longer in operation. Well, what did you use? What was the word you were saying?
Oh, well, sir, you go to the United.
Yeah, but
States
you said no longer used or something. What was the word you were quoting?
Federal claims. You go to the site map, and then you go to the.
I wrote all that down. I got all that down. But on these rules.
Archives.
Rule
5. That are archives.
Right.
Rules that
and
are
it says
archives.
No longer used.
Oh, wait a minute. Right. I want to hear this, John. You go to the site map. And then you go, and in the sitemap, you look for rules that are archived?
No, you
archive
go to the sitemap,
yes.
Look for
rules
the rules of U.S. federal court, and then you look for the rules archived.
I'm on the sitemap.
We only got 30 minutes left. I want to move this on, and I think,
archive.
Fred, if you want to, Fred,
all
if
right.
you want to, listen, hold on, everybody, listen. We're putting a lot of time into this, and this is something we need to do as a committee. Gerard, you kind of take the lead on this thing. Fred, if you want to get together with Gerard, then you can work that out with Jan, and Jan can kind of bring you two guys together for a meeting and discussion and whatever else to further look into this and give me the proper update and conclusion so that
Sir, let me take Gerard through to the page I'm referring to, and then he will know where it is. He can bookmark it, and I'm off the air, and you guys can go on.
And
Gerard, sir, did you hit sitemap? Did you see rules archives?
I see. It says home courthouse, and you go down about the court, then it says archives. But under archives,
but
I
see.
After you hit the site map,
you said to look for rules of the U.S. federal court. That's what you said.
I'm on the wrong page somehow.
Start at the beginning. Start at the beginning, click on site map, then click on rules for the U.S. court, and then rules archives.
The rules archives are under rules of the United States Court of Federal Claims.
Yeah, I'm under United States Court. Okay.
And it says rules archives. click
Did you find
yes, rules archives, yes. So you
okay,
click on
any
that.
Further discussion, any further discussion, Fred, if you want to work this thing out with Gerard for, you know, updating me on, you know, what we might want to do, but I definitely want to go look at the rules myself. Let's get together
okay.
with him, talk to Jan, and you guys can collaborate and
One
work things out.
Things. Gerard, when you're looking at rules archives, if you're looking at it right now,
mm-hmm.
okay, you see it starts out with a beautiful picture of a buzzard with an all-seeing eye. In 1855, and then you scroll down and look at rule 5.1 under title 2, 5.1 point. It says, there's the one.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to move
yeah,
on.
Cool.
We're getting
yeah.
technical here. We have a few people still in the queue, and we only got
Thank
30
you for
less than 30
me
minutes.
To get all of that in. I apologize for over-talking. I'm going to mute out now and let you have at it with the rest of the boys. Bye.
Thank you, Fred. Okay, let's go to our next caller. It is a 518 number. You got the mic. You must have heard. You're muted.
Hey, guys, Jeff Gall here.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, man, how you doing? Hey, well, to start with a quick question, hopefully you know the answer. I, again, have attempted to, well, I got petitions as a committeeman, this time in the town of East Greenbush, where I own a house. And
did you follow the procedure that we teach or that Primary Talents teaches?
Well, I believe so.
Okay.
To the best of my ability.
Okay, you have to have the proper. You go to our website and look on. You'll see the political side of things, and then look at the committeeman and the process, and you'll get some information.
Yeah.
But the key thing is running as committeeman, not as
yeah.
member. If you put member
right.
in, you're not elected. Okay, you know that. Yeah, you've
yeah.
been around long enough. You know. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually done this several times in the past, and I first in Schenectady County where I got nothing but grief, and it
right.
wasn't successful.
Yeah, I know. But I can too.
But in East Greenbush, though. I mean, I've called the whatever the hell he is, you know, the head of Board of Elections there for the Republican Party, he hasn't called me back, but I've heard nothing. I mean, what I've read is they have 3 days to challenge, and I'm assuming that's calendar days because it doesn't say anything other than 3 days, and you know, obviously that was a couple weeks ago now. I've heard nothing, and so my only concern
is... Did you file a challenge in the Board of Election?
No, a challenge to what? No, I filed my petition, my petitions,
okay.
and he accepted them. He date-stamped them. He gave me copies.
Okay.
And
are you being
and
challenged,
I've,
though?
No, I've heard... Well, I've heard nothing else. So that's my question. Is there something... I mean, is there any mechanism that, you know, requires them to let me know that I'm being challenged? Because
well, yeah, if you're being challenged, then you will be notified. If you're not being notified, then you're not being challenged. Yes.
Okay. So apparently they're not challenging me.
Because they'll put you onto the ballot, so they're supposed to, but they're not going to do it that way. They'll try another way to do it, you know. But they
well,
have to make notification to you.
Should I follow up and somehow insist that they put me on the ballot?
No. You'll only go
on
the ballot if you're being challenged.
Oh.
Right. If you read the Constitution, the New York Constitution, if no one is up against you, then you are deemed elected.
Right.
There's no reason
that...
to if no one is challenging you, then there's no reason to run for the position. You've already got the authority by the signatures
by
to be that
of
position.
The signatures, right?
So
right.
you're
okay.
deemed elected.
Okay. No. I mean, hopefully for the benefit of anyone else listening too,
But they won't understand that, Jeff. You know, they're going to be stupid, and they probably are stupid. And you're going to say I'm an elected committeeman, and you're not. And they're going to look at you cockeyed, and they don't understand any of that.
No, and I have no problem. I want to educate them. We have a person that the previous commissioner deemed was the chair. She works in the Board of Elections Department, and every time we need her, which is mostly during election season, she says, "Don't bother me now. I'm too busy at work." And so I've actually tried a couple of times already with emails.
Yeah, you're an outsider, Jeff. You know, they're not going to like you. You're a rebel.
Right.
You're doing something
that's
that
right.
Nobody else is doing. You're putting the right, label up there, and they don't like that. You're bypassing the chairman, and, you got to get on your knees, kiss his ring, kiss his feet, kiss his whatever, and, you're not doing that. So you're going to be an outsider. But Lou, let me tell you one thing, as you know. You know, we had here in New York, we've already had a meeting of all of elected committeemen in New York State. Both Democrats and Republicans came together as one in Kingston, New York. We got all of this has been, we can certify it, but, it's all been recorded. And we've changed all the rules to bring them back. Once we get control of the courts, then we will then look for all New York State committeemen that are truly elected. We will then use the court to empower them, and they will be able to go fire anybody they want. They can get rid of everybody, because if they haven't run properly, then the chairman can't fill the vacant seats. And you could fill the vacant seats with a lot of people that are in the system that knows it's defunct and want it fixed, and you can train them, teach them, and then show them how to become an elected committeeman and then get a real rebellion, so that you have the grassroots actually rising up as elected committeemen and go out and kick ass then against all of these people that are elected that are not paying attention and adhering to the Constitution.
Well, I mean, in my case, I think it's a good bet that I'm the only committeeman.
You probably.
I
definitely would agree with you on that. But throughout the state, you might find two or three or four people. Two or three or four people, you're going to take total control of the entire state. Now we have. Then you'll reinstate the rules that were elected back some 8-10 years ago, whenever it was we done that. Okay. Then you can reinstate the rules. Okay, and the rules are powerful. Okay, the rules are powerful. It gets rid of all the party bosses. It gets rid of the authority of a chairman. Just because they're a chairman and they have a little hammer there, if they have a hammer, figuratively speaking, at any given time, you can vote to get rid of the guy. Say, hey, look, I move for a vote to get rid of it. I second the motion. Let's take a vote. Okay, you got 50% more than, the extra vote, 51 against 50 or whatever it is. You get rid of him, you change the chairman. The chairman has no other special power. He can't hold back things. He has no authority to do those things. We're all equal, and that's what these rules do. It brings us to all being equal with one equal vote, okay, and empowers the people who are truly elected.
Right. Well, I mean, if apparently I was successful, which is awesome, and I really hope that in the next 2 years when it's,
hopefully we'll accomplish that. Yeah, absolutely. And between now and then, maybe you can find out who the good guys are. You can influence other people. And maybe you can turn some bad guys into good guys. Who knows? Influence. Use your influence.
Absolutely.
But you will be looked out as a rebel. And so you want to be humble and try to get into the game and, let them feel like schmucks, jerks, if they try to, kind of verbally assault you when you're being humble to them and trying to cooperate to whatever degree you can,
Right. No, of course. Yeah. Well, all right. Cool. And I feel like there's so many other things going on. I'm really anxious to kind of know what we really need to do next.
The most important thing that NLA is focused in on is grabbing control of the courts. When we grab control of the courts, we will take the political power right behind it, because we'll have the courts to be able to do so.
Right.
And the federal courts, by taking control of the federal courts can take control of the state court that's out of line and violating our unalienable rights, and we could constantly keep moving it into federal courts for cause and squash them. But we can get the power and the authority back to the individuals on the grassroots level where it belongs, and that is our goal, and education in the schools and so on and so forth. We've got a lot of work to do. People need to get busy with this.
Well, that's true. One of the things that I stumbled over, and you and Gerard may already know this, but, the courts, many judges have, for the last 50 or so years, maybe longer, have somehow been persuaded that natural rights don't exist. And it's not really a focus.
They've been turned into communists.
Well,
they want man's rights. That's what they want. That's why they have the 14th Amendment. They want civil rights, and the civil rights can be taken away by legislators. And right. legislators are easily influenced by money or by, you know, holding a gun to someone's head, you know, all kinds of things that they do. Of course, Trump's working on that end, the top.
Hopefully.
And we're working
Hopefully.
On the bottom.
Hopefully. You know, I don't know who James Otis is. It might be a name that some of you recognize, but a quote that I actually forwarded to you, John, I know of your million emails, you may not have seen it, but by the granting of Almighty God, who has given to all men a natural right to be free, James Otis.
Amen.
I mean, so that, I mean, those are such important words because some of these judges don't really understand why we have natural rights. And you know,
well, Cirio, if you go all the way back a couple thousand years, made a statement very simple to that, similar to that, and John F. Kennedy quoted that, so that man can be what he was meant to be, free and independent.
Right.
And that was focusing in on what Cirio said. So that goes back thousands of years. Look, it's
right.
always been the same. There can be no law but one. You can't. Man does not have the authority to make law over another man. It doesn't exist. But the people have the authority to write the law concerning what the criteria the government must operate within, and that's called the Constitution. And they have every right to uphold and lift up high, and we do in our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence, the common law. The common law is the law of the land, and it's the law of God, and it's written in the hearts of men. And we don't
right.
need statutes to tell us that someone killed somebody is wrong, or someone stole from someone is wrong, or someone injured someone is wrong. We don't need statutes to tell us any of those
and
things.
And we don't need scholars. We don't need scholars to figure it out for us either.
Absolutely
I mean, that's one of the newest, you know, con jobs. You know, we have to rely on scholars. No. I mean, this is not
yeah,
really.
Yeah, if you read the book by Brent Winters, Excellence in the Common Law. Okay, Brent brings up the points of the people, the common people, even people who don't read and write, but they're out there in the community. They know each other, generally speaking, and they have the ability and the right and the authority to judge their fellow man. And you put 12
right.
people together, and they'll figure it out.
And right.
And they'll always figure it out. And
yep.
if they can't come to a conclusion and they haven't figured it out, they either stay in that room until they figure it out or they come out and say, hey, you know, we got to let them go. And that's
right.
that. There's
right.
nothing else
Absolutely.
To talk about.
Exactly. Anyway, all right, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. I mean, this is good
thank
stuff.
You.
Jesus, we got to do this. But
yep.
have a good night,
Get
guys.
Out. Thank you. Good all night.
Thank you.
Okay, let us go to our next caller. It looks like Crystal. Mac, how you doing, Crystal? From Connecticut. Crystal?
Hello?
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, hang in there. I have to have my papers in for the appellate court. That's due tomorrow. And how they gave me 12 days. Other people got the 45 days and stuff. Another
well,
thing.
Well, the only thing you have to do to move into the appellate court is you have so many days. I think it's 45 days just to file your intent. Okay, you don't have to file your case. You have, I think it's 9 months to get your case together. You got to read the rules. I know I went up there once to get the rules so that we understood how to get in there. And what are they telling you? You only got 12 days.
12. Yeah, they gave me 12 days. That
well,
was
well.
Are
you appealing it up? Are you appealing it through a statutory process, or are you appealing it through the higher statutory process? You know, the court
higher,
really that goes into the state court.
Right. That's the Supreme, the appellate.
Okay. Right. Well, you're in Connecticut, so they are different there. I don't know what the rules are. You need to read them very carefully. Anybody that's in court. You know, you need to read the rules. And, you know, I bark and argue against the rules, and most of them are null and void, in my opinion, or a lot of them are anyway. But nevertheless, where I can obey them and use them, I do. And, you know, because some of them are common sense, they make sense, and, hey, they work, that's fine. But some of them are a problem, and we have to deal with them.
Okay. And
but as far as the appellate part process in Connecticut, whatever they have written up, I'm sure is reasonable. You know, X amount of days you have to let all sides know. You have to let everyone know and file with the court within that time period. Tomorrow's the last day
right.
you need to get it out. And
well, yes, it's done. I just gotta send it to the people, the party, and that's
okay,
done.
Yeah, make sure you get it dated out, time stamped, and get it certified.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certified mail. If you're doing mail, certified mail, unless you're personally delivering it through a server.
No, I'm gonna fax it to him.
Well, you could fax it to them. It's not sufficient service, though. You still need to put it in the mail, have someone sign the papers that they put it in the mail for you. Okay, get yourself an affidavit of service, and you could do it through the mail. And even with the affidavit of service, I always get the certified mail. I get that little ticket, whether I get a return paper or not. That's an extra $3. Sometimes I do the green card to come back, and sometimes I don't. But remember, you get the green paper that's certified. That in itself, you can go online and pull the signature.
Okay. Well, one other thing, too. Okay. They have, you know, because first of all, when we did the subrogation, show me proof of claim, till this very day, almost 4 years, they have never showed proof, due process, or nothing. One of the
that's how you win. That's how you're going to win. That's how you win,
okay,
in the upper court. You want to use the part that they have never given me any proof of claim. There's no proof of claim filed anywhere. Nothing certified, and you want to move towards fiduciary authority. They don't have fiduciary authority. Remember, they're dealing with you as a ship in the ocean. You're out at sea, and they put a chain on you, and they're dragging your ship in, your house or whatever it is. They're dragging your ship to shore, and then they're filing. When they pull it into port, they got to go to the proper place to file the proof of claim, fiduciary authority over that, and an X amount of days is given for the pirates to come back because they look at you as a pirate. They don't even understand this, but that's really what's going on. And so the pirate has X amount of days to get his due process, but you're seizing the property and you're not going through the person to seize the property. You see, that's the only difference, but that's the law of the sea, you know, and it's usually with pirates. And that has to be filed in the port. It has to file those papers in the port. And in this case, it's the federal court is that port. That's where they have to file those papers. So, you know, I'm sure they're not filed in the federal court. And I'm sure they're not even filed in the court you're in. And like you say, they're not there. They don't have the proof the proof of claim.
Proof of claim.
Do they have
the sure
authority. And you can
no
pull
contract,
those two
nothing.
Federal forms, or you can refer to them. They're Form 56 and 4490.
Mm-hmm.
So, but go ahead.
And another thing, too. There was an incident, I don't remember. Oh, God. It was, I believe it was back in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, where there was a judge, I believe, from Danbury, Connecticut, who was a probate judge. And what had happened, he, I guess, had a gambling problem and ended up blowing all the probate. It was, I think, almost like, was it
wow.
$5 or $10 million? And then he committed suicide, and he wasn't insured. And I never heard the outcome or the ending of the case. Now,
well, I want to tell you something. You know, that being the case, because a bond is required, a oath of office is required. Now, who's required to take the filing of that? That's the key you want to focus in on. Here in New York State, they moved all of those filings down to New York City into the main court for the state, that is, anyway, the state court. And that's where we found out where they keep the oaths and they keep the bonds, but they don't really have a bond because here in New York City they say, well, the people are, backing it up. We don't got bonds for them. Well, wait a second. So the people got to come in and sue and pay their own way here, pay their own penalty. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I mean, it's insane. These people have gotten away with murder. You know, so you could sue that place, wherever that place is, that's supposed to make sure that it's happening and files it. Those are the people you want to go after, that institution,
okay,
whatever it is.
The question I'm focusing on asking you, because what they're doing here, they're bringing all these older judges who are retired, who are now getting their pension.
Yes,
they
did that.
Are they insured? That's the thing I'm asking.
Well, they're not only insured.
Put
They're not only not insured, I'm sure. No judges are insured, probably, because that's
because
the game
I have
they play.
Yeah,
that's
I
the game they play.
Them.
They're supposed to have the bonds, but they don't have them. and they claim that the state will back them up. Well, the state is the people, so we pay the ticket. What are you talking about? We shouldn't be paying that. But that's where the game they're doing. Pulling these judges in, that's a game they play that are retired, and they come in for that one case and they go back out. And I don't know exactly what the con is there, but clearly there's a con.
Yeah, well, and when I asked them, can I have your open bond number? What? What do you want it for? I'm retired. And he was so upset because I asked it in the court. And then 2 weeks ago...
Well, you got to research to find out where that is supposed to be filed. And I would think... You see, look, there are seven kings in New York. They're judges, okay? And they control the court system here in New York. And it's a consolidated, they call it a consolidated court system, you know. We've copied that to some degree because we figured they could do it, we could do it too. That's why we call ourselves the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. But they call themselves the Unified New York State Court System. And they have brought all the courts under one umbrella, including village courts, town courts, and other courts. And they brought it all under one umbrella. And when we discovered by doing that, that's where all the filing is. It's all the filing down there. And they got their oath of office, but they have no bonds. And we can get them on that. And we will go after them on that eventually.
Yeah, and there was one other thing I was going to ask you pertaining to. About our cases and what have you, right? When it comes to foreclosures, and this is something we picked up also, they give us a short length of time. Anytime it's a settlement, they just drag it out. Now, as a matter of fact, there's this one case that's going on right now. And so I guess she had an estate or whatever left to her. They gave her the paperwork last month. Her case, they will see her case December of 2025. I said, what? They have 7 years to hear your case, right? And I said, wow, isn't that amazing? See, in my case with the city, it's gone on since 2004. Actually, it was 2002 till now. It still has not yet been settled. I said, isn't this amazing?
Yeah, but a lot of what they're doing is, you know, they're working in the background. It's a turtle's move. And they file another paper, and then they file another paper, then they move this, and they make a declaration, then they declare it. Eventually they're moving towards changing your property ownership.
I'm talking about a case that I had pending from my job. It's going on 18 years, and I said this is illegal because every case
you should
is
move this into the federal
years.
Court for cause, right of justice, you know? They're not giving it. Look, first of all, they're violating your due process rights, and that's something you can use too. So, you know, think about it: what you can file in the federal courts for, but you can move this into the federal court. Now, again, a case like this, you know, they may deal with it righteously. You know, they're not evil on every single case because they got to look good somehow, somewhere. As long as there's nothing in the game, you know, as long as there's no requirement of a status quo decision and that kind of thing, and you know, or something that's on the quiet. Sometimes they may move the other side, look, fix the damn case, and I want it out of my court. So they'll make a deal with you, and then you get out, and you're done. You know, accept the deal. Get what you can and go. It's a game they play, of course.
I got the transcript.
Court.
Okay. And I got the transcript, so I'm going to get that all over to you. I got my warranty deed. I got my the property. I got everything. So I'm going to send you the copies. Let's see. Everything is filed, the volume and page and all. And like I said to him, how on earth are you going to take my property when I have my volume, page, warranty deed, quick claim deed, life use, 400 years, and it's in a trust? Who's going to sign my name off? See, right now there's a lot of people they're forcing people out of their home, and excuse me, they're forcing the people out of their home, and now their homes are being, they're left empty for almost 3 or 4 years, like my neighbor's house across the way from me, and she
absolutely
ends up having a heart attack and dying from it. And what happened now?
I know
they
someone
put on the
same
deed,
situation,
and now they put on her deed on there. She abandoned it.
That's
so,
right. That's exactly
what,
you know.
That's
look,
what they're putting.
My niece just went through this, and I told her, "Do not leave the house. Just stay there. They're
right,
just starting
exactly
the process. You could be there for 5, 6, 7 years. Take advantage of that because they're only stealing from you anyway." But that's exactly what they do. They serve the papers. They make people frightened. And she got frightened, and she, you know, she doesn't follow what we're doing here, unfortunately, but she got frightened, and she left and rented a house someplace else and took off and left the house, and that's what they got, it abandoned. And now they'll move quicker. Maybe it'll take 2 years instead of 7 or 5,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever. And that's the game they play. Look, it's stand your ground, stay in there. And look, here's another thing. When you do get a court situation and you're being pulled into court and you don't want to be there, these courts don't have the authority, the nisi prius courts, I'm talking about town courts, city courts, village courts, those things. And, you know, one of the things, and I'm waiting for them because this is something I don't know why I didn't think of this before, is you move the court for dismissal for lack of personam jurisdiction. Okay, they don't have the jurisdiction over your person. And if they ignore that, then you got the perfect thing to move into the federal court with. Because no federal court, I don't think, is going to go up against that. You know.
Okay, wait a minute. I have to do it. Say it again.
They have
to
make believe that even they're not an nisi prius process.
Well, and that's what I said when they called me in the court. 2 weeks ago, I think was the...
Just so you know, we only got a couple of minutes, and I'd like to get one more person in.
Okay,
all
righty.
Next.
Okay. All righty. And, okay, that's it. Go ahead. Because I'll be in touch with you, and I got to send that other stuff to you.
All right.
Okay.
Take it easy, Chris.
All righty. Okay.
All right. I just lost Stephanie. I don't know where she went to. So we'll take one other caller left, and that's Felicia. Go ahead, Felicia from Florida. Final call.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you guys?
Good evening. Good.
I just wanted
to
say,
got a couple of minutes. I'm sorry.
I know. It's okay. It's all good. I finally got to meet the sheriff. He came to my job. He didn't know who I was. I told him that I knew him, and he said, "Are you sure?" And I said, "Yes." He was in a television commercial praying with some guys, and he was like, "Oh, yeah, I remember that commercial." And when he finally got to my register, I told him, I said, "Yeah, you're the man that put me out of my house."
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Yeah, you put me out of my house." And I told him my address, and he said, "That wasn't me." And I said, "Yes, it was you." And that I had showed you, I had brought the grand jury's documents to your office and handed it to them. I came several times, and you ignored the grand jury. He's like, "The grand jury?" I was like, "Yes, sir." And he was like, "That wasn't me." And I said, "Yes, it was you, because I also..."
Well, you know what, even if it wasn't
him,
it
was
one of his deputies. You know, even if it wasn't him, it was one of his deputies anyway, and he's still liable. But go ahead.
It was him, mm-hmm. because I have him on video at my house of them putting me out. So I didn't say that part. And I asked him, I said, "Well, aren't you guys constitutional officers?" And he said nothing. And he was like, "Oh, we had a court order." I guess he remembered. It's like, "Oh, we had a court order." And I said, "But I came to you before there was a court order." And he walked out.
Right, and it was an unlawful court order.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to bring that up to him next time if you continue with this engagement. You know, the point of the back of the matter is, A, yeah, and it's true. All right, well, look, at you know, we're moving all of our cases into this case that we're going to be suing the judiciary, and all of our cases, everything we've done, we're pulling together and we're bringing it into this case as evidence. And also, we're going to, in the wherefore clause, as we go through, we want justice for all these people and more. You know, this is just the tip of the iceberg. It's not even the tip of the iceberg. There's so many people. So anyway, we're going to put up a page. I'll announce it next week. We'll put up a page
John,
on the criteria. Yeah.
It wasn't him. It wasn't him. But
what
he remembered. He said it wasn't him.
Oh. But it was him, right?
Yeah.
Well, look, you know, we're going to move everything into this court case as evidence. We're going to demand that that restitution be applied to all of these people within these that we're using as the evidence, and show how they've been ignoring these cases and railroading people, just steamrolling them down, and just serving the status quo money-making machine RICO process, you know, money-making RICO machine. And so we're going to set up a page. Again, we'll talk about this next week. We're going to set up a page whereas anybody, and we're going to lay out the criteria of how to fill out, what information we're looking for on the affidavit. No more than 1-2 pages maximum. And so anybody can put their violation, how they've been violated, into the court, into our court. We'll use it as evidence. You have to do an affidavit. Again, we'll lay that out. And if you get it to us, we'll file it in the court as evidence. And again,
yes, sir,
at the end of the day,
18 years is too long for me to wait. I'm not going to be homeless for 18 years. Sorry.
Right. Well, again, we're going to use this as evidence, and we're going to, in our wherefore clause, require restitution to all these people. So we'll pull them into the court case. And this is what we've been telling people for a long time. We got an end game, and the end game will deal with it. But until then, you know, we can't make the court be just when all the courts are unjust. But at some point in time, when we were able to get the leverage over these courts, and we're at that point in time, we're going to leverage them and pressure them and go up against them, and we're going to push for justice. And again, we're just a small group when you really look at all of the evil they've been doing over the last 50, 60 years, you know. So,
you're a smart
but
group,
so there'll
yeah.
be a lot – well, that's true – and hopefully people are getting educated. But, again, you know, we're going to get lots of people behind this, and they need to be restored also. This should collapse their system. But, again, we need to get the word out. We're going to talk more about that, and we need to get, the donations continuing so that we can cover the cost for all the things we need to do. We have a lot to do. And if we get a lot of money, which, I don't know that we will, but if we did – believe me, it's going to go in the right place, and we got a lot more we can do. And again, the Sheriff's Project alone is a place where we need a lot of money. We need like $50,000 or something like that, whatever that number was I came up with earlier.
Wish I had it. But it
okay.
wasn't him. His exact words. Wasn't
yep.
him.
Wasn't him.
Okay,
all right,
thank
Felicia.
You very much.
Thank you.
Have a great
all right. day. Okay, we're going to end the program now. Thanks, everyone, for coming. Lord willing, we will see you back here next Monday. And again, let's get other people involved. Bring a friend, everyone, you know? Let's do what we got to do. Okay, have a good evening. And again, we'll see you next Monday. As I look to see what we'll end the program with, we usually end it with a song. I just saw one. Oh, there it is. I like this one. Here it goes.
There outside.